latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Is it possible to live on the minimum wage? President Obama doesn't think so, and he explained why in a speech today to a progressive group in Washington why it needs to be raised.
The combined trends of increased inequality and decreasing mobility pose a fundamental threat to the American dream, our way of life, and what we stand for around the globe.
But many Republicans say raising the minimum wage will hurt business and it could cost jobs. It's been almost a year since a gunman opened fire at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, killing 20 first graders and six adults. Today, the 911 tapes from that day are expected to be made public, but a group that includes parents who lost children trying to find it.
Several calls to 911 that originated inside Sandy Hook Elementary School captured the sounds of the massacre. Mark Barton, whose son Daniel was among the first graders killed, said he can't fathom why they would be released.
The potential harm that will come from that is far greater than any good that I can see, and I'm not sure what good there is at all.
A judge said there's a public interest in judging the law enforcement response. In a letter to parents, the Newtown school superintendent said the tapes could be an emotional trigger, and he suggested minimizing media exposure. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Have you noticed a lot of new home construction in your neighborhood? The Commerce Department says new home sales increased to almost 44.5% December to October. According to Robert Jenkins, the National Association of Home Builders says that's a good sign after three soft months.
We still have some way to go, but at this point, we're probably about halfway back on the single-family side. The multifamily sector, that recovery has been a little stronger.
It was the biggest monthly increase since May of 1980. Ahead of the Federal Railroad Administration is concerned about Sunday's deadly derailment and three other accidents in New York and Connecticut. The NTSB found no problems with the train's brakes or rail signals, and the crew was negative for alcohol. The Dow was up a fraction, the NASDAQ ahead fine. This is ABC News.
My golden retriever, Sundance, is a lot more playful now. She has more pep and energy than I've seen in years.
Positive energy. Petey is having fun again. He's got a shiny coat and a good healthy weight.
Molly's been having four scoops a day.
She pushes her little bowl all the way across the room, emptying every last single crumb.
She has slimmed down and gotten this puppy look.
She's got light. She's got energy. She's got stuff to give.
We get asked all the time when we're at shows, how do you get your dog so healthy and shiny and glossy?
D-I-N-O-P-I-T-E.com.
H-5-9-4-2-8-1-0-P.
Omega-3 fatty acids.
They don't sell all the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The family will be on Dynavite for the rest of his life.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite.
The sporting don't quit.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Today, your trip through airport security could get a lot easier. You just have to give the government a lot of personal information and $85.
Imagine not taking off your shoes or your sweater, keeping your laptop and liquids inside your luggage, and moving through a special shorter line. The dream begins in Indianapolis, where the TSA is opening its first application center for the program it calls PreCheck. Passengers willing to provide fingerprints, go through a background check, and pay $85 can get 5 years of sped up screening. Eventually, the TSA says 300 application centers will open across the country. They'll be in New York, Washington, and L.A. by the end of the year.
After more than a year of battling in a New Jersey court of Kentucky, a woman has won her fight over a $56 ticket, a traffic ticket for having her van plastered with political signs and trinkets. A judge now says Linda Farley's so-called Liberty Van doesn't unduly interfere with her vision. Daria Alden, ABC News.
Trying to sell your own.
And now, it's the News Talk 600 Drilling Down Report.
This is the Business Journal Daily Buzz Drilling Down Report for Wednesday, December 4th. There were 8 well permits issued in the state of Ohio this week. In our area, Chesapeake Energy received 2 permits to drill in Columbiana County and Hanover Township on the Sequoia property. The company also received 3 permits to drill in Carroll County and Loudoun Township. Elsewhere in Ohio, permits were also issued in Ramsey, Jefferson, and Noble counties. In Pennsylvania, the Department of Environmental Protection issued 2 permits in Lawrence County. The first went to WLP, a subsidiary of Royal Dutch Shell. That permit is in Little Beaver Township on the Patterson Farm. The second went to Hayford in Mahoning Township on the Ambrosia property. Many permits were issued in Trumbull, Mahoning, or Mercer County. Jobs in four industries developing Ohio's oil and natural gas shale play have risen by 30% over a 2-year period, talks about the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. The department reported Monday that employment in core industries such as well drilling and pipeline construction created 8,192 jobs in the first quarter of 2013, the most recent quarter measured. That was up from 6,263 for the same period in 2011, the year Job and Family Services uses as the base for comparison in its quarterly shale job report. Core shale-related industries employed 7,329 in the first quarter of 2012. So this year's total still represents a 12% increase on a year-to-year basis, according to the state data. Employment has also increased in ancillary industries, such as trucking, engineering services, and environmental consulting. It rose to 161,043 jobs in the first quarter of 2013, a 0.66% increase compared with the prior year period, and was 3.8% higher than in 2011. An information session will take place tomorrow at the Yankee Lake Ballroom in Brookfield, focusing on the benefits of converting vehicles to compressed natural gas, or CNG. The seminar will be hosted by State Representatives Sean O'Brien and Nick Barbarak, who are co-sponsoring House Bill 336, which provides tax incentives for gas-powered vehicle conversions and new purchases of CNG-powered vehicles. The seminar takes place from 10:30 until 5 and is free and open to the public. And that is the Business Journal Daily Buzz Drilling Down Report for this Wednesday. For more information, go to businessjournaldaily.com. I'm Michael Moliterno.
Your neighbor accidentally drives his car into your living room. Luckily, your neighbor has minimum liability insurance from Safe Auto, which means for not a lot of money, he can protect himself from his own mistakes. So call Safe Auto right now for some protection of your own. 1-800-SAFE-AUTO.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, your Northeast Ohio Ford dealers announce the dream big event. Get the best-selling 2013 F-150 Supercab for only $299 a month. Visit DriveOneOhio.com for details.
The vet had them on antibiotics as well as steroids. Nothing worked.
The vet had given him a cortisone.
The vet prescribed an antihistamine.
The vet said that he had allergies.
The vet thought that Molly was just old.
The vet didn't know what to do.
The vet offered no success at all.
We probably spent at least $5,000 in that bill.
I heard about Dynavite on this radio station.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
I just called my wife. I said, dear, you got to check out Dynavite.
The omega-3 fatty acids, zinc.
There's flaxseed oil, the seaweed, the kelp.
6 days later, my dog's ear problems were cured.
The shedding has stopped and the itching has stopped.
Tons of energy. No more bad smell.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
The vet noticed that Sundance has a glossy coat now.
My vet was completely blown away. 859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
When you want your morning cup of coffee to come with the latest local and national news, tune to News Talk 600 WFOM every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. The latest news when you need it. And Youngstown's best talk, News Talk 600 WFOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Some people care about what other people think we're about.
everybody. It's Sticks in the Air Chair today. Tracy's off sick. And so treat me nice. This is WSOM 600 AM, and this is coming to you live from the homestead deep in the hills of Columbiana County, Ohio. So we're going to talk about a few things today that hopefully we're going to rattle some cages and just have a good time. We got some things going on in the world that we need to be talking about. And, you know, we got Detroit going bankrupt. We got the president wanting to spend more money. And it's all just kind of coming apart. I mean, it really is. You know, is Detroit the wave of the future for the government? I mean, you know, we've created this Mandarin society where government workers don't play by the same rules as everybody else. And now you've got a judge that says that they can bankrupt on their pensions. Is that fair? Is it not fair? You know, what do you think? Give me a call, 347-945-5229, 347-945-5229. We have unlimited internet numbers, and we're all here. So, 330-783, you're up, 843-665, you're up, and 334-557, you're up. So, if you got anything you want to say, chime on in. But, you know, Yesterday, the judge in Detroit said that the city can renege on the pensions. And what makes that any different than what has happened to thousands of people here in the Valley, if not millions across the country, who's had their pensions taken over by the PBGC, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, and had to settle for pennies on the dollar of what they were promised? What's the point, you know? When can, why do we somehow think that public workers, public sector workers are any different than the rest of us? When we had the government shutdown, we had people just complaining all over the place about, you know, these people are laid off and this and that and the other. And people get laid off every day. You know, it's nothing really nothing new for people to get laid off. And why do we look at a public sector worker getting laid off any different than Joe down the street?
I mean, who says that it's looked at different? Where did that come from?
So anyhow, what else is going on today? We've got a lot of other things going on. We've got the president out there wanting to raise the minimum wage again.
Yeah. That's an interesting one, too. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you go. I wonder what happened to Sticks.
I don't know.
So, 843, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Sticks. There you are. Okay. Yeah, you disappeared there for a second. So, how you doing? Not so blind.
It appears I'm having some technical difficulties here on the thing. 843, can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Hey, Sticks, can you hear us?
All right, we seem to be having a little technical difficulties here. I'm going to take a couple of seconds off here and see if we can figure some of this stuff out. And we'll be back in just a couple of seconds.
Okay. Did other people hear us?
Do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Fine.
Oh.
Instead of just leading, it's hot out there. You don't cut the mic off, I can't wait. Yep. Here's music.
Well, the numbers in budget, each temporal budget, and blame it all
trying to get our technical difficulties figured out here. 843, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me? Sticks, can you hear me?
I guess not.
Sticks, can you hear anybody else?
Well, anyway, what we've got going on here today is we have a president that once again thinks that somebody else's money can fix all of the ills of the world. And he doesn't understand how business works. For the first time in history, we've got an administration run by complete academics. They do not have any idea what makes the world go around economically. They think that everybody can work for free. And they think that the laws of economics just don't work for them. So what do you think? You think he's on the right track, or you think we've got something going awry? That's what's going on now. This minimum wage thing, you know, at some point, people are going to start cutting their own grass, and they're going to start packing their lunch, and they're going to walk away from all of the things from buying things because they're just not going to be able to afford them. You know, you have to pass your costs on to your customer. And if they raise the minimum wage, for example, Massachusetts has the highest minimum wage in the country. And they also have the highest teenage unemployment rate. 330-360, your mic's on.
Can you hear me, Sticks?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Got something going on here. I'm not quite sure what's going on.
Sticks,
my board
says
we ought to be able to talk to the callers, being able to talk to the callers.
Can you hear me?
I don't think you can hear us.
Right now, I've got 330-783 up. I've got 843-665 up. I've got 330-360 up. And I've got 334-557 up, and nobody's talking to me.
We're all talking to you. You're just not hearing us.
But that's just the way it is here in the big city.
Okay.
You can't hear me?
No, he can't hear
obviously
you.
It's something with Blog Talk,
just
because when you press 1,
through,
it doesn't put
4
you
minutes
in the queue.
Here, and we've got 4 minutes to go to break, so... our numbers again are 347-945-5229, and our local number is 330-781-9600. We're still trying to get our phone situation figured out here. We're going to go to break here for a second.
It's Blog Talk. Blog Talk is the problem.
Is it Blog Talk? Can you hear me,
press
Alabama?
Press 1. It won't. It's not up. It's me. If you press 1 and it don't put you in the queue, that means it's not on, probably.
Okay. Yeah, because I heard the mute unmute, but maybe it is Blog Talk is fried, so...
I'll call back.
Yeah, maybe we should all just break the connection and I'll call back in.
Young kid stepped in from the cold. He ordered up a drink. He said, "Don't look surprised, old man. I'm older than you think. If I was a talking kind, I could tell you a thing or two. that you didn't ask. Let me show you my tattoos. He said, I got this road to Memphis and some back old alley dump. Took the seagull up in Dallas. Man, I sure was good and drunk. And you know the way I see it, if it gets any worse out there, a guy like me hasn't got a prayer.
Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
If it
it comes up, it goes out. Live weekdays from noon to 3. Listen to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that covers the Valley issues that matter to you, plus global topics and news of the day. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can flip back to thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Tune in at home, at work, in your car, and online to the Valley's News Talk, AM 600 WSOM. Mark Levin is on the radio.
Obama gives this speech, and he drones on and on and on about the future, about his vision. State of the Union speech. He's talking about the future. He's painting a picture. He's creating an image. If we just had more taxes, if we just had more government, more programs, more departments, more agencies, if we just had more. Paradise would be here.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. Listen to News Talk 600 Saturdays at noon for On Earth as It Is in Heaven and Father Andrew, pastor of St. Michael's Orthodox Church. Saturdays at noon on News Talk 600. We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Just rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling.
Well, hello, this afternoon it's Tracy and Friends, and this is Sticks in the Air Chair here. Talking to you from deep in the hills of Columbiana County at the homestead. So anyways, what we've got going on in the world today, we've got the president wanting to raise minimum wage again. We've got a health care law that's coming apart at the seams. And we have a major U.S. city going bankrupt. Three, three, four, five, five, seven. Your mic is on.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
And nobody's there. We're still having trouble with our telephones. So anyways, I just don't understand how that they can continue to go on this rant about minimum wage. It's one of my pet peeves because businesses just cannot continue to pass on pretty soon the price of the product is so high nobody's going to buy it. You know? Hey, there we go.
Can you hear us, Dick?
Oh, we can finally hear you. We can finally hear you.
We were hearing
come
you
in,
all
come
along.
In and save me.
Yeah,
okay.
We were hearing you all along.
I was talking when you first asked your first question back at 12:03. I was like, So that was kind of crazy.
Hey, you know what, man? I have to announce this. Sticks was Obamatage just now.
Wow.
That's what was happening. Everybody can now call into the show. We were Obamatage, and you know, it's sort of like sabotage, but it comes straight out of D.C. So they just wanted to, you know, to cause trouble today. Still got to do some things, but I will be back as well, and me and Sticks will finish out the show later. But you all have fun, and thanks for calling. But just remember, you better watch, because you yourself could be Obamatage'd.
Sticks was just NSA. You know that, Sticks. You know what that stands for. No Sticks on Air. That's what that was for. NSA.
Say no Sticks on Air. Thanks, Mike. So what do you guys think about this whole minimum wage thing and Detroit going bankrupt and you know, the whole world's kind of a mess right now?
Well, we're down to 2.5 hours now, and I could do two and a half hours alone just on Detroit going bankrupt, because it really is the day of justice. And you got to remember the history of this whole thing. The fact that now, like, the employees' pension funds are on the line. I will bet that those were all the same progressives and liberals who were cheering several years back when General Motors went into bankruptcy, and the first thing they did so they wouldn't have to, they went and passed a totally around bankruptcy law. They eliminated all the secured bondholders and secured creditors of General Motors to put the union ahead of them. And everybody thought that was fair. All the liberals jumped up and down, hooray, the big money, evil people, the profiteers, these, the bankster gangsters, everybody, they got it. We got them. Well, guys, as that old story goes from Nazi Germany, you know, they came for the Jews and nobody spoke up, and then one day they can come for anybody. Well, that's exactly what happened here. So now the unions are in the same position in Detroit that all the creditors of General Motors were. The bankruptcy law, which is a matter of written federal law, passed by the legislatures, passed by the Congresses over the years, written into all the legal stuff, doesn't matter anymore. So now the unions are going to take the short end of this. They're workers. They're not going to get their pension.
I mean, I lived through this through my father. You know, my dad's pension went to the PBGC in the 80s. And, you know, the Mandarin Society in China was this huge bureaucracy, and they kind of had more rights than everybody else. And to a large extent, I believe we've created this Mandarin Society here in the United States. Mm-hmm. Where the rules of economics don't apply to government workers.
Right.
And now, suddenly, they got to live by the same rules as the rest of the people, and they don't like the rules very much.
No, they don't. And we saw this a few years ago in Chicago with the teachers' union. They were demanding raises. They went on strike and everything else, and every other worker in America was taking a cut in pay. Somehow or another, teachers were supposed to be sacred and sheltered from the economics that the taxpayers who fund the teachers' payroll weren't sheltered from. You know, and again, everybody is so big on, well, let's make it all equal, let's make it all fair. Well, then that means you share the pain, too. Why shouldn't the teachers' union let their workers take a pay cut if it meant teachers didn't have to be laid off? But they made the taxpayer out to be the villain because they were talking tax cuts to preserve jobs. I mean, payroll cuts, salary cuts to preserve jobs. And someone under that's dirty when it comes to a union or as you say, a public service employee of any kind.
Yeah, I just fail to understand. You know, when we went through this with the government shutdown, everybody felt so bad for those poor people that got laid off. And you know, I don't have
and
enough fingers and toes.
Dependent.
Right, and I don't have enough fingers and toes to count how many times I've been laid off throughout my life.
Exactly, and the ones who were laid off, you know, you had big corporations like Starbucks stepping up, giving them coffee coupons and everything else, because after all, you're an oppressed federal worker forced to take a 2-week paid vacation, because they were paid for that time, because the minute the shutdown happened, within 3 days, they were saying, don't worry about it, you'll get paid retroactively all the pay you're going to lose. So what did they really lose? They got to sit at home and collect money for doing even less than they normally do.
Right. 557, your mic's on.
Yeah. You guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, I honestly, like, for the life of me, I feel like his whole, minimum wage, that's a move to kind of save face, to show, hey, I care about the little guy. So
yeah.
I think, truth be told, we're all connected in this economy, and I don't think people really get the gist of that, and so we're going to keep going down this cycle because it appeals to emotion. And Obama's a liberal. I mean, he's probably ultra-liberal.
He's not a liberal. He's a progressive.
I thought they switched the names. It's the same thing. Anyway.
Go ahead.
I guess progressive's in now. It used to be an evil word back in the day. Now it's becoming the N-word. They always vacillate between the two. But what's his face? I was listening to Adrian Rogers, and he was talking about Nietzsche and how he influenced Karl Marx and Charles Darwin and how these guys thought. That's why I like it, because you get a real understanding of President Obama by understanding Karl Marx, Nietzsche. That's where he gets his thought from. So if you really want to get into his mindset, that's what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a movie I saw.
This guy is not a Christian at all. I have no belief that he is. So just because he doesn't act like one. I mean, now, I could be wrong. I'm not saying it because, I do have to get to know people, but I really don't see where he even remotely has a faith at all. So, I mean, we're here for it. They voted this guy in, and quite frankly, whatever unemployment happens to the poor people that voted for him, whatever, they deserve it because they went and voted this guy in not understanding 1 + 1 = 2. You can't just go and vote yourself, your bills paid, vote your, and that's what they're doing. That's what most people are doing. And it's always, what about this person? What about the person that struggles? What about, that's the mentality. We know the infamous callers that call in and say that, but I'm sorry. I just, right now, for the life of me, the next year, they're going to have to defend this guy. Because when all this stuff kicks in, then he went and pushed back certain parts of it to after the election. I mean, how gullible can you be to go out here and parade for the campaign for this guy right now with all the stuff that's going on, all the economy is just falling in shambles, people losing their insurance, millions of people, they can't run a website, giving you deadline after deadline, missing each deadline, jacking up the numbers, making it seem like you got more people signed up. If you visit the site, they count you. Like, come on, man. He's a failure.
What about the lawmakers that are claiming what he's doing is actually unconstitutional, and it needs to be looked at?
He got his own guys in there. He set this up. Remember this election period cycle? There was this female, I forget who it was, and she was like, last time we tried to go through the system, this time we're going to go around the system. We're not going to try to go through Congress and. We're gonna take the gloves off.
Right, we're gonna reward. I think the president said we're going to reward our friends and punish our enemies.
Yeah, when you look at what's his name, Eric Holder, these guys, he's the guy going to do it. Eric Holder on some dirt himself. Took some heat because Eric Holder got his back. Then you had Rahm Emanuel; they got him out of here in Chicago messing up. How long does it take for people to just say, you know what, maybe we need to go in another direction? This is why I think a lot of people, lack critical thinking skills. They haven't been taught that. So, like, well, this isn't working. They don't have that ability to stop and say, you know what, redistribution of wealth isn't a good idea right now. I mean,
Alabama,
the guy, he has a helicopter. He can fly off and go, what am I going to do when he shuts this company? Because I'm going to tell you something. If I had a franchise, I'm making $70,000 a year profit off that franchise. And then you're going to come in and you're going to raise the minimum wage. That's going to cut it down. If you raise it to $2, now I'm making, let's just say, $30,000. Then you're going to raise the insurance costs. Now I'm in the hole. You're not breaking even. Breaking even is good. No, you're in the hole when this guy gets finished.
Right.
It's going to get real bad. I think we already got double-digit unemployment, truth be told.
Well, you bring up several good points, Alabama. And one is, okay, I'm a franchise holder. I paid $1 million for a franchise. That's what some of the bigger ones cost today. I'm making 70 grand a year. I don't need to put at risk $1 million to make 70 grand that I have to then be taxed on when I can go get tax-free municipal bonds, make a net of 5%, and never risk anything and never put up with the nonsense. And the best way for low-information voters, the best way to make the point with those kind of people, not just on these issues, but in any issue, because in some of the businesses I have over the years, you got people who think that way. And here's what you do. The best way to get somebody to understand the folly of what they're doing is take it to the extreme and explain it at the extreme. And here's what I would tell anybody who thinks you can move the minimum wage up with no consequence. Well, if the minimum wage going up will not raise prices, will not affect employment, will not hurt jobs, then why stop at $10 an hour? Wouldn't it be better if we just gave all those folks $30 an hour or $50 an hour? And at some point, even the liberals go, well, no, you can't do that. Why? If it has no deleterious effect on anybody but puts $50 an hour into some undereducated person, low-output person, low-productivity person's pocket, wouldn't it be better to live on $50 an hour? And then we can
Hold on. I'm going to tell you why I disagree with that. The reason I disagree with that is because what they're going to say is, look, they're making so many obscene profits that they're making millions and just going
but
home and
why
laughing
not
at
pay?
Hey,
why not?
Fellas, we're getting ready to go to break here. So.
Yeah.
Leave the mic open.
See you on the other side.
Yeah. But the point we're trying to make, Alabama, is this. If it has no negative effect,
well,
why not just do
where
it?
I come from, here's what I tell everyone. I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place. Stars and stripes.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A Youngstown accident yesterday morning sent several people to the hospital. It happened near Cornersburg, near St. Christine's Church. Police say an SUV ran a red light, slamming into another car. It had a woman and three children inside, and they were taken to the hospital but were not seriously hurt. The 89-year-old driver of the SUV is also in the hospital in stable condition. Community Health Systems in Youngstown, the company that owns Northside Medical Center, is on track to become the country's largest for-profit hospital chain next month. CHS is working on a deal to buy Florida-based Health Management Associates. Valley nurses are upset over the change, saying the hospital needs to focus on fixing problems at its hospitals instead of buying new ones. And the rescue mission of the Mahoning Valley continues to open its doors to the homeless. The group just started its cold weather emergency shelter program. The mission says it's seeing 20% more people at the shelter than last year. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Hundreds of various shoppers are taking advantage of the Cumulus Golf Card. The Cumulus Golf Card gets you access to the area's best courses for the best prices. Visit 600WSOM.com to get yours now. The Eagle Card gets you a round of golf with cart at Squaw Creek, Old Stonewall, and Bedford Trails golf courses. That's a $240 value on sale for only $140. The Cumulus Golf Card, a great gift for the golfer this holiday season. Visit 600WSOM.com.
WeatherTight right now. We have a brand new WeatherTight window that you got to see to believe. It has the technological advances. It'll make your house snug as a bug in a rug and makes your house a home with WeatherTight windows. Great savings now on this WeatherTight window, and if you give us a call now, we'll have it in before New Year's, but you've got to call this week. And it's the most technologically advanced window that you'll ever see. Saves you tons of money on your fuel bill, and just for getting a free estimate, we'll give you a free copy of Hugs and Kisses, Hopes and Wishes, Cookie Cookbook, all benefiting Akron Children's Hospital of the Mahoning Valley. So pick up the phone and call. Extra special discount. MyWeatherTight.com. More information. But here's the number for the free estimate. 1-800-821-8483. That's 821-8483. And like always, whether it be one window or house full, Mrs. Merv and the WeatherTight family say you're going to be guaranteed happy with WeatherTight replacement windows for the life of your house.
This is the sound of your feet, ow, all day, ow, every day, ow. When your feet talk, it's best to listen, ow. The solution? Cobbler's Corner, your foot comfort center. Stop in now through Thursday, December 8th for our winter sale. Every pair of boots, casual shoes, walking and running shoes are on sale now through Sunday, December 8th. We also have new styles marked down for clearance. We carry name brands like Red Wing, Timberland, and Carhartt work boots, Brooks and New Balance athletic shoes, SAS and Drew diabetic shoes, ladies Ortheheel casual dress and athletic shoes. We also have fire-resistant clothes and accessories. Visit Cobbler's Corner in Columbiana, Ohio, on the corner of State Route 14 and 46 for our winter sale now through Sunday, December 8th. And turn the ow of your feet into
ah.
Cobbler's Corner, your foot comfort center.
This is News Talk 600.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe she'd been drinking too much eggnog, and we begged her not to go, but she forgot her medication. And she staggered out the door into the snow.
Hey, it's Sticks in for Tracy. She's not feeling well today. This is Tracy and Friends, WSOM 600 AM. Right here in Youngstown, Ohio. I'm broadcasting remotely from the hills of Columbiana County down here at the homestead. So give me a call, 347-945-5229, and it wouldn't be Christmas without Grandma God.
Hey, Steve.
Brain. Yeah.
Yeah, me and Not So Blind Mike were going back and forth about right
mm-hmm.
before the break.
Yep.
And we wanted to get the mic off, but the point I was trying to make was that there are all these people going to just come in and say that these corporations are making so many millions. Every business is making millions, and they can afford it.
Right. And that's the
logic.
Yeah, but here's where they blink on you on that one, Alabama. And I've seen this happen when I've played this. Take it to the extreme when I used to run a construction company and everything else, okay? They will blink. If you go to $50 an hour, if they really believe there's no harmful effects to anybody except somebody's being enriched by $50 an hour instead of minimum wage, point, they blink. If it isn't 50, it's 75, because here's what they come back with. All of a sudden, they see themselves, the person you're talking to, as being treated unfairly because they're not making $50 an hour. They got $50,000 in student loans. They went to college. They're struggling to find a job at $18 or $20 or $22 an hour. And they all of a sudden, well, why is it fair that they, who've done nothing, who've improved themselves, who have no high-end skill, didn't go to college, don't have all the student debt, why should they get $50 an hour? And you
I got a better question.
Sure.
The guy that creates the most jobs
yeah.
should get the tax cuts and should be allowed. If you create jobs in this society, you're contributing
yep.
more to society
yeah.
than a guy that just works one job and goes. Now, you can say, well, that job may affect X amount of people. True enough.
Yeah.
But if you provide him that platform along with, you know, whoever, however many or more people, see, that's where I differ and separate.
And no, I agree with you on that, because that's why you have CEOs of companies that have 50 or 80,000 employees, and that's why they're paid $2 or $3 million a year. Now,
hold up, Mike. When you
yeah.
talk about CEO,
those
yeah.
are not rooster capitalists. They're what I like to call managerial capitalists. They're guys that went to these
Ivy League schools, got these educations, MBAs, whatever. They come in and they run these companies, and when the company's going down, they're still getting
they
their salaries, their exorbitant
right.
fees. So
right.
If you own that corporation, if it's your corporation and you started it from scratch,
yeah.
it's different. But if it's not, and it's some guy who came in on some board who went to college and went to Yale or Harvard, he doesn't have a dog in the fight.
I understand.
As soon as that company goes under, next week he's at another company ruining their company.
But as President Obama proved, then anyone can go to Harvard. So if somebody's begrudging somebody because they got connected, well, then why, instead of being a jerk in high school and a corner dropout, you should have gone to Harvard. You should have.
Well,
hold on.
I feel like Harvard is overrated.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people who would complain about that.
They don't have a great track record as far as running this country. Because those are the people, let's be honest, the senators And congressmen, you cannot run for, well, you can, but you're not going to get into the real upper echelon of government.
Right, right, right.
Unless
no,
you're from
an
Ivy League school or a Rhodes Scholar, you're
right.
not going to get into these upper echelons of these companies unless
right.
you are from these Ivy League. But let's
yes.
look at
well,
what happens
not
when
true.
These guys
that,
get there.
That's not exactly true anymore because as far as earning in the corporate America, it almost doesn't matter what college you go to, and that's why people are saying you don't need to go get $200,000
well,
worth of debt. $40,000 will get you the same
I'm
job,
about
the same pay scale.
Right, but Mike, what happens? Hold on, let me jump in here,
company.
Alabama.
Yeah.
But what happens, Mike, if you look at the real movers and shakers?
Yeah.
They're all part of the same.
Sure.
Elite. They.
Sure.
If you look, there hasn't been a president. There's only been three presidents in the last 100 years that weren't Ivy League graduates. Reagan,
yes,
Johnson,
Truman.
And Nixon.
No, Truman. Truman never went to college.
That's right, Truman. Okay, so four.
Yeah.
And Truman,
so,
I mean, Truman was a good man. I mean,
I
he really was.
Because
but...
politics are all political hacks. Most of the guys serving, gals, too, serving in Washington right now are attorneys. And all they know
right.
is how to be a political animal. Because if you want to know how really dumb they are, all you have to do is watch C-SPAN and watch some of the hearings, like when they have the banking industry testifying or the insurance industry testifying or the car manufacturers testifying. And you hear information from these people why they can't do things and why this can't be done. And you, the average citizen working the assembly line at, you know, in Dearborn, Michigan says, that's not true. That's not what goes on in our company. And yet our politicians are so poorly rounded out as intellectual individuals. All they really are good at is being a politician. They have no
right.
core knowledge beyond being a hack politician. This is both parties. And so
right.
what happens
and they,
is they don't even know when they're being lied to. Then they have all these staffs around them who are supposed to do research. And all that's about is which lobbyist paid them the most amount of money to put favorable research in front of them. These kids who then are just trained to be servants to the hack politicians, they can't even bring in a document and say, hey, there's something wrong with this. This doesn't add up. My research shows, Senator, that this person is lying to us. They can't even do that. And yet the average citizen can go online and look up a couple of basic facts. And I'm not talking about conspiracy websites. I'm talking about places where you can go look up production numbers, USDA crop reports, and all this other stuff. And they go, this is just not true what the Congress is being told in these hearings.
Right. Unlisted caller, your line's open.
Also, if you look at when the Federal Reserve people come in and talk, all those guys are Ivy League guys, all of them. And look at the answers.
Well,
look at the Alan Greenspan has not run any major companies, but listen to him. People swear he's a genius.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Alan Greenspan is he's been turned.
Yeah.
He wrote an amazing article in the Objectivist magazine in like 1964,
mm-hmm.
Titled "Golden Economic Freedom." I mean, it's an amazing article.
Uh-huh.
But he's been turned. He's been taken in. It's like there's this monster that swallows these people up, and I don't know if they brainwash him or what's that?
The word is seduced. They're seduced
yeah.
by what goes on there. The power gets them. Even this latest group of congressmen that took over the after the 2010 election.
Right.
A lot of them will tell you from day one, they would, you know, they'd be walking to the Capitol building and they were told, no, we'll send a limousine to get you. Why? The entrenched power structure tries to seduce them into the lifestyle of privilege.
Right.
So that they
right.
vote the way because, hey, I like this. It's a rainy day. I don't have to walk to work. I don't even have to remember my umbrella. I have doors.
Yeah, Michelle Bachmann was like, well, you know, we have family. We have bills. We have the, you know, we in Congress, we can't, you know, have our
then
children.
Then don't run for office
if
you can't afford to.
And I'm sitting like, wait a minute now, so you're different than us?
Yeah.
I mean, these people, that's why they call it Olympus.
Yeah.
Because they're the immortals, and we're the mortals. They're the gods.
Yeah.
And they're the elite among society, and it shows because they've risen to what they feel like. And let's be honest, these people ain't really making no real money. The guys that's making the money are just they get bought out cheap. These guys probably make less than $500,000, all of them. Most of the people in Washington.
Yeah.
So,
they're not, you're
right, and they are Mount Olympus, and all their job is, after a while, is to shoot down lightning bolts, and your job is to keep from having your butt singed by a lightning bolt by the decrees they issue all the time, and that's where we're in. We're dodging
Hillary
lightning
Clinton,
bolts down.
Hillary Clinton Look, when she was running for office back in 08 against Obama, they talked to her about Hillary Kale's call. They was going back and forth about it. She's like, well, look, we'll just force them in. I mean, anytime they get unemployed or anything, we're just going to force them into this system.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't have no real way of really looking at it but one way, man. I mean, it's just, they just a bunch of crooks.
Yeah. Well,
people that vote them in, most people that vote them in are people that, and I hate to say this because it's going to sound real controversial, but most of the people that support this stuff have a weakness somewhere. They feel like they can't make it somewhere, and you hear it when you hear these people talk.
Alabama, I think there's two different.
Nobody's going to sit there and tell them that, but that's the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's two different kinds of people that vote progressive. I think there's the people that want to be taken care of. And then I think there's the people like the Bill Gateses of the world that made it, and they think you're just too plain stupid to make it on your own. You know, I did it, but, you know, you got to be helped because you're just not as intelligent as I am.
Well, that
elitist
attitude, you know. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't really look at a lot of these businessmen as being exceptional. I look at these businessmen as being in the right place at the right time, and it really almost has nothing to do with them. It chance comes into it. I think you need to be prepared, and you need to be prepared for an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But you can be prepared, and that opportunity could come, but something can happen, and you can wind up broke. People like what's the guy they call the Oracle of Omaha?
Warren Buffett.
He went long in the market. Anybody, look, I could have took $10,000, went long in the market from 1980 to 2000 and been a millionaire. I mean, it's nothing to it. He act like he was just, he's a brilliant
guy.
But he's been wrong a lot of times. These guys super beings like they think they are. They aren't perfect.
What gets me about all of these guys, the Buffetts and the Gateses, and all of these people, the Rockefellers and Carnegies before them, is they want unbridled free market capitalism until they get there. Mm-hmm. And then once they get there, well, we need all these rules and regulations because, you know, we got to protect my fiefdom.
Yeah, because nobody is as noble as I am.
But that's why they're funding people to think like certain people. They call it so.
Whoa, it's break time.
Can we talk?
Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to three on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and Friends.com.
You got my
Tune
number,
in tomorrow
right?
at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy
Give me
and
a call.
Friends.
That line.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. President Obama wants to raise the minimum wage and told a progressive group today it's going to be a top priority over the next 3 years.
And the idea that so many children are born into poverty in the wealthiest nation on earth is heartbreaking enough. But the idea that a child may never be able to escape that poverty because she lacks a decent education or health care or a community that views her future as their own, that should offend all of us.
But many Republicans say raising the minimum wage could be bad for business and might cost jobs. How's the healthcare website doing?
The numbers are somewhat above the crowd levels for which the enrollment website was designed. 1 million visitors on Monday, according to the government, 950,000 Tuesday, and the site didn't crash.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. You know it's cold when forecasters tell people across the Rockies they're going to need to bundle up. ABC's Ginger Z trying to stay warm in Denver.
It's some of the most bone-chilling air seen this early in 16 years.
It's terrible.
The Arctic blast slashing temps across at least 23 states by 30 to even 50 degrees in just 24 hours. In Denver, the high was 56 yesterday. This morning, the temp has plummeted to around 10 degrees.
That same system could threaten crops far away as Southern California. Harry Truman called the 80th Congress the Do-Nothing Congress. In 1948, lawmakers passed 906 laws. That is more than 10 times the number that this Congress had.
The American people work hard,
and they've got a right to expect their elected representatives to do the same. House Republicans are listening. To date, the House has passed nearly 150 bills this Congress that the United States Senate has failed to act on.
House Speaker John Boehner says Senate Democrats are to blame. The Dow is down 37 points. The NASDAQ is off 5. This is ABC News.
Mayor Rudy Giuliani with the LifeLock Identity Theft Alert for holiday shoppers.
Black Friday and Cyber Monday kick off the holiday shopping season. Every gift we buy at the mall, in a store, or online increases our risk of identity theft. And don't think it's just about credit cards. Identity theft is much, much bigger. Here's one example.
Businesses suffer identity breaches all the time. When this happens, identity thieves have virtually everything they need to steal your identity and even attack your bank account. No one, not even law enforcement, can stop all identity theft. Take steps to protect your identity and even your bank accounts with LifeLock Ultimate. As a special holiday gift, LifeLock is offering listeners 15% off your LifeLock Ultimate membership. Call or visit LifeLock.com and use promo code AWARE15, that's AWARE15, for your 15% off holiday gift. Call 1-800-305-2203. 800-305-2203. 800-305-2203. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary. Offer ends 12-31-13.
Want a real Picasso? It could be yours for a steal.
A Picasso offered in a raffle? The painting is called Man with an Opera Hat from Pablo Picasso's famous late Cubist period, and it's worth at least $1 million, authenticated by Picasso's daughter and his son. The proceeds of this first-ever online raffle of an artwork by Pablo Picasso will help save the ancient Phoenician city of Tyre in Lebanon, a UNESCO World Heritage archaeological site and one of the origin points of Western civilization. The drawing is December 18 at Sotheby's in Paris. Raffle tickets cost 100 euros or 135 U.S. dollars. Todd Ent, ABC News.
The dream of the high school football team in Newtown, Connecticut to win a state championship in honor of the 26 victims killed at Sandy Hook Elementary School has come to an end. Newtown High was 12-0 and seeded number one before a last-second loss in a quarterfinal game last night. The team dedicated the season to the 21st graders and six adults killed at the elementary school last December. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Hi, I'm David Hall, president of Shore Mortgage.
Turns out you can use the Internet to get a free quote on state minimum car insurance from Safe Auto. Just go to safeauto.com and see for yourself. The best part? It's quick and easy. You can also call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Drive safe, spend less.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
I have a 70-pound Royal Standard Poodle. Her name is Zelia. And 3 years ago, Zelia's ears were a mess. She would have sticky, gooey, smelly discharge in her ears. We took Zelia to the vet 7 times of $150 every time. The vet offered no success at all. My wife and I are driving, and we hear some people on the radio saying D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.
859-428-1000. The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
6 days after I started feeding her Dinovite, my dog's ear problems were cured. My dog no longer yelps. She can be petted without pain, and it's because Dinovite made our dog healthy again.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E .com.
Listen to News Talk 600 Saturdays at noon for On Earth as It Is in Heaven and Father Andrew, pastor of St. Michael's Orthodox Church. Saturdays at noon on News Talk 600. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Our houses are protected by the good Lord and a gun. And you might meet them both if you show up here, not welcome, son. Our necks are burnt, our roads are dirt, and our trucks ain't clean. The dogs run loose, we smoke, we chew, and fry everything out here. Way out here. We won't take a dime if we ain't earned it.
Well, hello, it's Sticks in for Tracy today. Tracy's not feeling well. We hope, send our prayers out to her. Hope she's feeling better soon. Coming to you live and remote from the hills of Columbiana County down here at the homestead. It's a beautiful day. The sun's shining. It's about 50 degrees. It's 8 minutes after the hour here on WSOM 600 AM. And if you want to talk to us, our number is 347-945-5229. And we've been talking to Not-So-Blind Mike, Alabama, and we've got an unlisted caller out there. Your mic is on, too. So how you guys all coming back to me now?
We're here, Sticks.
So before we went to the break, we were talking about this how all these multi-million-dollar corporations can afford to pay $50 an hour for minimum wage, right?
We were also talking about CEOs that feel that they're elitist and the, you know, good old boy club got them their job, and when they really had no more talent than anybody else, we were talking about that.
Right.
And I was sharing with
you. I think a CEO does have certain – that's the thing I was saying with Diva the other day. I was like, big companies pay people more money. I work in the IT department, and I've worked in places where people were making $7, $8 an hour right next to me, and I was making – almost, you know, 6, 7, 10 times what they make an hour. And they were looking like, why? And it's because I went and did something so that I'm more marketable to this company. That's the only difference. And the CEO, he has a pedigree. He has the MBA. He went to the right universities. And he probably knows the right people, too. But I respect that because guess what? If I can know someone, then I can build that networking. Networking is a skill. I used to own a mobile car wash. I used to get free clothes, free food. I got all types of stuff free. I never paid for movies. I could go to the movies free every day if I wanted to because I watch cars. And that's because you have a skill that people want. It'll get you somewhere. And what the Bible says, a man's gift maketh room for him. So what's your gift? We don't – people – I was talking to a girl about dating, and she was talking about a guy, and I was like, does he have any vision? Does he want anything out of life? A lot of people just think get a job and go home and go to work. You got to have more than that. You got to have vision for your life and want to do something with yourself. And if you don't, then you're going to be tossed to and fro by the winds of life.
Well, the cold hard fact is that when you go to work for somebody and somebody's paying you a wage, you have to create more wealth for that person than he's paying you. And if you're not creating more wealth for that person than they're paying you, then they cannot employ you. That's just all there is to it. A company makes money on its labor as much as anything else. And there are so many people out there that just do not understand that concept. And it makes me crazy.
Because if you generate only what they're paying you, why it's a net sum zero for them. So, like, why bother to even put up with you? Why bother to give you a parking space and get it plowed? And why bother to give you a desk and a telephone and pay all those expenses or
right.
buy you a machine to run if all they're going to do is equal your pay out of your productivity? Who needs you?
Right.
And people don't get used to it.
Right. The problem also is Walmart doesn't pay everybody $7 an hour. Walmart pays their store managers $500,000 a year almost.
I think Walmart gets an awful lot of bad rap. From what I understand, the average Walmart worker makes like 12 and a half an hour. And what the complaint with Walmart is, they do have a lot of part-time employees. But if you're a part-time employee, why are you in a part-time employee? Do you want to be in a part-time employee? If you want to be a full-time employee, why are you still there? My wife's brother worked for Walmart for a long time.
UPS some years ago got people, they went on strike and got insurance for people that work 4 hours a day. They got it. Now you got a lot of people working at UPS just to get the benefits.
Right.
UPS still is a viable business. They're still making a profit. But I was always told, look, a company doesn't owe you anything. Nobody owes you anything.
Right,
and
right.
And you can't come to that company and bring some value to that company. Why is it that they need to give you a raise? If you walked in the door on day one and brought the same amount of value that you're bringing 2 years later, why now, just because you've been here, you agreed to that amount when you walked in the door, but now you want more because you've been here longer, but productivity hadn't gone up? And that's a lot of blacks. That's not blacks, but that's a lot of people.
Well, the thing is, you know, the reason there's a minimum, well, I don't believe there should be a minimum wage, period. It should be whatever the market bears. But if you're going to have one, the reason for that minimum wage is a starting point for someone, because, I mean, I'm a millwright by trade. And I'll be honest, when I was doing my apprenticeship, I busted up a lot of stuff that somebody else had to pay for. You know, I wasn't worth journeyman scale. I'm sorry, you know, and nobody is when you start out.
No.
Because part of the fact you're not getting paid is because your employer's got to pay for the stuff that you screw up.
Yep. See, back in the day when I was apprenticing in the construction trades, here's the way it was from the old-timers that I apprenticed under, the old masters. Anything I screwed up, I came back on Saturday on my time, and if it involved any materials, I paid for those materials, or I didn't have a job Monday. Now, you can't do that with employees anymore because they're all whiny. They'll go to the labor board. I'm being treated unfairly. I'm being discriminated against because I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too whatever the category they want to fit in this week that makes them an underprivileged person, and you just don't get away with that. That's what they used to do. Hey, you know, you wasted this much lumber, you wasted these electrical boxes, whatever, you shorted that out. You go here's where you go buy one. You'll get my price, but you're coming in on the weekend, you're going to install it. That's got to be fixed by Monday or you don't have a job.
You know, I want to take this a little different direction. I've been thinking about this. The military grocery stores, the grocery stores on military bases are called commissaries.
Mm-hmm.
And the baggers at these commissaries all work for tips.
Yeah.
They don't make wages. They work for tips.
Yep.
And back in the 80s when I was in there, there was a lot of those guys that were making $100 a day.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Now, what would happen if you would go to a Walmart store manager, half a dozen teenagers, and say, you know what, we want to put a tip jar out, and we want to carry people's groceries out to their car?
Yeah.
If the manager would allow them to do it, you better believe the Labor Relations Board would just be going bananas.
We had a guy back home when I was a kid, when I was in high school, and for years before I was or even around, this guy was the doorman at one of the municipal buildings and would open the door and then walk the 12 feet to the elevator, push a button, and ask you to get on the elevator. And if he saw you carrying stuff, he'd offer to help you get it up to the floor where you were going to go. This guy did not have a paycheck. He worked totally on tips. That man put 5 of his children through college in the 50s and 60s just on tips.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not have a paying job with the city.
Right.
He was there. They allowed him to render that service at his total risk, and that man lived well and educated his children. And, you know, you're right, you know. But most people today feel put out. It's demeaning to serve someone else. That's why in this country, if you want a butler or a personal servant, a valet, a gentleman's gentleman, you usually have to go get somebody outside the United States where
to
do a job well is more important than what the job is.
Well, you know, I mean, that's one of the reasons au pairs normally come from outside of the country, too, people
exactly.
who hire au pairs.
Yeah.
You know, but we're destroying our children by coddling them. I mean, if you go back and you read the things that the founding fathers did at 12, 13, 14 years of age, you know, what is wrong with our children today? I mean, what is wrong with us?
I mean, you guys are up there from farm country and all, and where a lot of the kids go to work early. We're the same down here in South Carolina. The kid who used to cut my lawn at 12 years old also ran a backhoe for one of the neighbors. At 12 years old, this kid was running the backhoe and doing a man's work during the summer.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't in school.
I've got a friend that owns a small excavating company, and his son was running work at 16.
Yeah.
He had his own crew at 16.
Yeah.
And I know that this particular young man couldn't reach all the pedals the first time he was put on a backhoe.
Right. And this kid worked his way through college. He's now in his late 20s. He's working on an MBA in business, but he has a bachelor's in business, admin, and he is a shift foreman for a major company down here at 28 years old. He's got men twice his age answering to him, calling him sir. This kid has earned the right, and the company that he works for has this huge contract of pressure treating railroad ties for the railroads here on the East Coast. This kid is working 60 hours a week, no end in sight, just to keep up with the demand. And he's 28 years old, owns his own home, paid for, free and clear and area. 28 years old. Ladies, you want to catch, get a guy like this.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
If he got you pregnant, you're not competing for a morsel of food against your own children on the table. He'll provide for both of you.
Right. Well, and that's what, after we had the vocational agriculture kids on here, I started thinking, because Tracy was really, really thought it was a good program, and it is. But the problem is it won't work any place except with country people. Because I guarantee you the first time that a suburban kid or an inner city kid tells his parent, I'm going to get off work at noon tomorrow or get off school at noon tomorrow and you're going to see me at 6 o'clock Sunday afternoon, their parent's going to go bananas.
Yeah.
And those kids work like that, not only for their own families, but they work like that for their employers.
Yeah.
My daughter dated a guy in high school, and he would get off school at 4 o'clock, at noon on Friday, and he'd show up at the house at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, and he spent the weekend catching hour naps in a semi truck.
Yeah.
During harvest, people in town and suburban people are not going to allow their children to work like that.
Actually, their attitude about work is that it's punishment. A friend of mine ran a souvenir store up in Cooperstown, New York. And the kids would come in and want a baseball bat with their name laser engraved on it and their team and all that, and he would accommodate them. So he'd say, well, I see you've been saving your money. You must have been doing some extra chores and stuff, because the kid would pull a bunch of money out of his pocket. And the mothers, and he said this happened almost all the time, the mothers would say, oh, no, he doesn't do chores. He's a good kid. What does that have to do with being a good kid? He doesn't do chores. He's a good kid. Like chores are punishment?
Yeah, I don't
wonder why an employer would kill to find somebody with a work attitude. They're not being raised by their parents. Somehow or another, work is dirty.
Right. Go ahead, Alabama.
Really messed our generation up. Alabama can hear us.
Okay.
So Detroit is bankrupt.
Yes,
and
Detroit is
all
bankrupt.
All the people that were gloating over the evil car companies, you know, not paying their creditors, secured debt holders and everything else. Now the union's going, whoa, now the workers won't get their pensions. Well, it's okay. We've already set the precedent. The law means nothing. Succession, rights, liens, security on a contract and all that means nothing anymore. And it means it for everybody.
But the thing is, Mike, that they're not being treated any different than the steel pensioners in the 80s and 70s.
Exactly. It's just their turn now.
Right. Right, and
yeah.
I fail to see what the big problem with it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not a heartless SOB that wants to see somebody lose their pension.
Right.
But why didn't somebody from the union put a guard on the hen house to make sure the money was actually going to be there? You know, that's my problem with other than the trades.
Yeah.
That's my problem with the unions.
Right.
Is they don't want to provide a service. They want to be a political entity. But we'll talk about this after that. Well, we got 30 seconds here. But I was talking to my brother-in-law the other day, and I said, hey, if the UAW called your plant manager up and said, hey, listen, we'll guarantee you a drug-free employee that'll show up on time and trained, and you can get rid of your HR department, what would you do? He said, we'd sign a contract tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
what's going on in Detroit is the exact microcosm of what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. Perks against future debt, rather than address the fact there's no money now, promise them something in the future. And that's what they've done for 50 years in Detroit with the Democratic administrations they've had. Push it down the road, push it down the road. And now these people are expecting all that money is going to fund their retirement.
Okay, Mike, we're going to break.
There you go.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795. Fit Family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Savers Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Savers Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Savers Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Savers Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know people, or a lot of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com. or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Breaker and conscience of small business built this nation. Well, wouldn't it be nice to hear a little more about the forgotten heroes of America, those who create most of our new jobs, like the owners of stores down the street, the faithfuls who support our churches, synagogues, schools, and communities, who produce our goods, feed a hungry world, and keep our families warm while they invest in the future to build a better America. We hear so much about the greed of business, but frankly, I'd like to hear a little more about the courage, generosity, and creativity of business. The truth is, before entrepreneurs can take, they must give. And I believe business works best and produces the most progress for all when we're free to follow the teachings of Scripture. Give, and you will be given unto. Search, and you will find. Cast your bread upon the waters, and it will return to you manyfold.
Hey, Dex in for Tracy this afternoon. Our prayers go out to her. She's not feeling well today. It's Tracy and Friends, WSOM 600 AM. Our phone number is 347-945-5229. Give us a call and let us know what you're thinking. So what'd you think of that, Mike?
I'm sorry, Sticks. I was on mute there. So I missed what you were saying. I'm sorry I was on mute.
What the? What?
That's somebody whose line you have open on the blog talk site.
What in the?
There we go. Okay. So I'm sorry, what was your question again?
Well, were you able to hear this thing on small business from Ronald Reagan?
Yes. Yes.
It's pretty well spoken, I thought.
I thought so, too, especially now. And it was well predicted years ago. And by the year 2015, 80% of all employment in the United States will be by small companies. That's interesting.
Okay. Yeah,
and
80%
of all. Yeah, and of course, that's according to the Ford Foundation and the studies they had been doing. And learning a trade is what's going to set you up for the next 25 years for employment, because by the year 2015, we're going to be short 450,000 electricians in this country. We're going to be short a whole bunch of HVAC guys, plumbers, welders, and everything else. And there's nothing wrong with those jobs. For anybody that doesn't mind a little, you know, getting dirty a little bit and working with their hands and stuff, they will make more money from the get-go as an apprentice than the average college graduate will their first year out of college, and they won't be starting out in the trades maybe just after a year of some type of vocational school they can get money to do, they can get help with and everything else, and they won't be starting out, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 in debt. They'll be right into the earning curve with a shorter learning curve, and it's the way to go. And if I had children, male or female, and they had any mechanical abilities, I'd want to show them the world of the trades and stuff, saying, hey, look, because here's why. 2-3 years as an apprentice, you're a journeyman. 4 years, whatever
right.
it takes. And look, and they're talking, and then within 2 years after that, you move up very quickly, and there are people in the trades right now who get paid between $80,000 to $135,000 a year is the pay range for people who have less than 10 years experience. There are very few college graduates who do that.
Yeah, there are two young men that graduated with my daughter that went to the University of Northern Ohio to learn diesel mechanics, and they're both making six-figure salaries now.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
626, your mic's on.
Yeah, that's me, Kavina. How you guys doing? Thanks for
good,
me
Kavina.
I think that I'm like disagreeing with what you guys saying about a few things here, but what I would point out is that progress is something that is not made by the people in power. I'll give you a quick example, American example. The British had no best interest in freeing America and letting them establish a colony. The South had no incentive to or best interest in letting the slaves go free, or colonial powers with the British. It's all over. It's like the people in power, and in this instance, you were talking about people who, let's say, employers that don't pay minimum wage, it's really not in their best interest to pay people more than minimum wage, or if there was no minimum wage, a nickel a night, a day. It's not in their best interest.
It is in their best interest, though. It is, because if you have somebody who has a skill and I can hire that person for $100 an hour and they can make me $200 an hour, I would be stupid not to pay that person $100 an hour. The problem is with minimum wage workers in a general sense is that is all the value for their labor that they bring to the table. I know nobody with a skill that makes minimum wage.
The thing is, it's progress for the people who's making minimum wage. And that progress is not going to be, let me finish, that progress is not going to be handed out to them by the people who are in power. That's something that only can be derived using a collective voting apparatus, which we have in this country. Right, there's no voting apparatus in Iraq, back when Saddam was in there or whoever, in a dictatorship, you don't have the exercise to vote and to shape your country. In this particular country, we do have the ability to vote to shape the outcome of our country, and so that is the collective will of the people to have a minimum wage and to move it forward periodically.
But what happens when, because you're artificially raising wages, what happens to me as a business owner when I can no longer sell the product that you create at a profit and I have to go out of business?
Yeah, when that day comes, then it will be a blowback or something. That day hasn't came yet.
It has come. It's coming, but we don't see it. Look at all the jobs that no longer exist because of an artificially high minimum wage. We don't have grocery baggers anymore. We don't have people to pump our gas anymore. Lawn care. All of this stuff is going by the wayside because you're not allowed to hire someone at a wage commensurate where you can, so you can still make a profit and pay that person.
Yeah, that's all. I don't know where you are, but we have lawn care and bag people. But
they don't do the lawns for the average person.
That particular point.
They don't do the lawns for the middle class. They do the lawns for the upper middle class and the wealthy. Those are the only people who can afford their service. They're not doing the lawns, Mr. Covina man. They're not doing the lawns for the 80-year-old person living on a pension who needs help and can't get any around the house. That's not going to help gutting her lawn, cleaning her gutters, painting her front door. If they don't have immediate family to help them or a church group or something to help them, their lawn goes uncut. Of course, until somebody in the city, somebody around them who has a higher land value complains to the city and they find themselves slapped with a warrant for a health code violation for not maintaining their property. That's what happens in most of America right now. The other thing is, I do agree with Covina man. It's the person in power that controls the wages, and that's why. And you know what? If you're a good employee and you're highly productive, you have the power. Your boss does not let you go, treads very lightly on the relationship, and pays you what you want because you make money for him. He can't afford to lose you because he isn't going to go hire three wannabes who aren't productive, don't make money for him, and become a management headache for him. Just then paying someone to oversee them. So you're right. The power goes to the person who is productive. And the power to a in an employer-employee relationship, the power is the highly productive employee. They do not want to lose you. And I know this for a fact because I worked in union places where even though I wasn't a member of the union, they did whatever they had to do to keep me during general layoffs. And I was being paid more than the union workers at my level, but I was the most productive person, and I gave no attitude. I showed up, did my work, ate my lunch, and went home. That was it. And because of that, I always had a job. And I'm in that group who's in the one down position for employment in our society. I'm a disabled person, and yet I always had a job with overtime, as much of it as I wanted. Back in the summer of 1968 in July, when I was going to go back to college in September, just in the month of July that year, I put 14, this is 1968 when the minimum wage was about $1.45, $1.65, something like that. I put $1,400 in the bank working at a union place as a non-union member simply because they kept me working for the month. They couldn't throw enough hours at me. I was hungry and I did my job and they got nothing from me. I had the power with those people. I was an aspirin. I wasn't a headache.
440, your mic is on.
Yeah, you know, I'm hearing a lot of stuff today about how we can take care of everybody. We can't take care of everybody. There's
Amen.
Winners and there's losers.
Yep.
That's the way it is. If you don't get educated, if you don't want to work, you starve. That's the way it goes. I mean, get over it. Not everybody's going to make a lot of money.
See, and I come from the reality, I agree with you, I come from the reality that I don't buy when all these people are supposedly have no opportunity. I'm sorry. I look at the disabled community. There are very few disabilities that require that the person, or that demand the person do absolutely nothing. Everybody can contribute something. And I believe that if you collect public assistance, then go down to your local town hall and wash windows and be part of a job crew or answer the telephones and work the switchboard or something. I just don't think people should be paid to do nothing.
When you volunteer, you wouldn't believe how many jobs come along if you volunteer. You'd be surprised how many jobs are out there that lead off of that. But no, you know, and this is the whole thing. You know, and I'm seeing this, especially with the school children. It's ridiculous. They're dumber than a bag of rocks. And, you know, yesterday's statistics proved it out. We're not in the top 20 in the entire world in math, science, or all right? You can't do any of those things. You're useless. You're useless.
I got a really good example of the volunteering thing. A guy that my brother-in-law worked with was transferred to Charlotte, North Carolina, and he was an engineer, and he was working. He started volunteering for this group. Well, it turns out a couple of the guys that he was working with were big in NASCAR teams. They're actually big in NASCAR, the organization. And after a while, they said, "Hey, you want to come and work for us?" And the guy's now he's got his dream job. All because on his off time, he did a little bit of volunteering and did back to what Alabama was talking about with networking.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll give you another one. I handed out, I'm not patting myself on the back, but I'm just telling you just what happened. I volunteered for handing out, delivering meals to elderly on Thanksgiving. They asked me if I wanted a job. I don't need a job, but it's there.
Yeah.
But you can't do nothing and expect to get something.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. It's not.
334 and 269, your mics are both up. So if you want to chime in, feel free.
And there's this elitist attitude among some people that feel, well, that job's beneath me. If the job is not dangerous to your physical health, immoral or illegal, do it. There's nothing wrong with the job.
Well, the problem with our disability system in the United States is it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
And rules, especially for Social Security disability, the rules are arcane at best and stupid at worst.
Yeah.
You know, because the way it works is you have to pay into the disability system 5 of the last 7 years or you're no longer eligible. So if something happens and you get hurt and you go out of that system for a time and you earn money other ways so you're not paying into that system, you're no longer eligible for anything no matter how many years you paid into it. And that's wrong. So, well, we're going to break now. We've got 5 seconds here, so we'll see you the other side.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A Youngstown accident yesterday morning sent several people to the hospital. It happened near Cornersburg, near St. Christine's Church. Police say an SUV ran a red light, slamming into another car. It had a woman and 3 children inside, and they were taken to the hospital but were not seriously hurt. The 89-year-old driver of the SUV is also in the hospital in stable condition. Community Health Systems in Youngstown, the company that owns Northside Medical Center, is on track to become the country's largest for-profit hospital chain next month. CHS is working on a deal to buy Florida-based Health Management Associates. Valley nurses are upset over the change, saying the hospital needs to focus on fixing problems at its hospitals instead of buying new ones. And the rescue mission of the Mahoning Valley continues to open its doors to the homeless. The group just started its cold weather emergency shelter program. The mission says it's seeing 20% more people at the shelter than last year. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
News Talk 600 is working to help put our valley back to work. We've come together with local employers and training centers to connect job seekers with potential new openings and new careers. Visit our website and click on Features. That's where you'll find links to local companies and training centers, and you can even submit your resume right online. Putting our valley and America back to work. Visit 600WSOM.com.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
With the richest fifth claiming about a third of national wealth.
Every morning I get up before that rooster crows, headed straight to somewhere I don't even want to go. Eggs and bacon in my belly and a Folgers coffee bug. Good old radar detector, it protects me from the fuzz. Well, I do what I gotta do to get through working at 9 to 5. It's killing me, but then again it's keeping me alive. It puts the gas in my truck, butter on my biscuit, couple bucks when I'm itching for scratch off ticket.
Well, hello. We're coming back from break. WSOM 600 AM. It's Tracy and friends here in the afternoon. This is Sticks here in the air chair, broadcasting remotely from the homestead deep in the hills of Columbiana County, Ohio. So anybody who knows where that is knows it's out in the woods. So we're back from break. We've got Not So Blind Mike. We've got 438, got Covina Man out there, 334, and 269. All your mics are on.
Yeah, I like to make those comparisons between, because I know where you guys are coming from, and I'm not going to disagree with you, because I don't need to. I just will point to a situation or specifics, like you take the top five or bottom five red states, or forget red states, let's just say the states that are most laissez-faire capitalist. Okay, so you know, I guess you put Texas and stuff like that in here, versus say the so-called socialist states of America, like the Californias and the New Yorks and the New Jerseys, with the super high, you know, rates, you know, tax rates and stuff. And you just look at the home price values of those states, or you look at the per capita income of those states, you know, versus the rest, or take the amount of money that's taxed and sent to the federal government versus money that's received from the federal government. And what you'll see is those states that practice laissez-faire capitalist states, out, if it wasn't for their natural resources, like Texas has, you know, oil just flowing out the floor, but if it wasn't for those states, it's night and day. The states that practice, let's say, a fairer wage, a wage, a higher minimum wage and stuff, versus the states that are, you know, the most free market state, if you will, it's night and day. It's like nobody wants to live there because you can't make any money except for the people that's born in the wealth, or people that is so poor they can't leave. Or you got people from New York. People come from all over the world to settle in New York, California, and so forth. I mean, if you open the doors,
I would disagree with you wholeheartedly. For one thing, North Dakota and South Dakota both have almost zero unemployment rates right now. And, you know, you want $15 an hour to work at McDonald's, go to South Dakota, go to Gillette, Wyoming, and you'll make $15 an hour at McDonald's because they can't find any help because there's that big of a demand for labor. As far as you're saying, yes, the top five states, I believe, for receiving that pay in more to the federal government than they get back, yes, New York, California, New Jersey. But you also have to look at other things, other factors in that. Many of those states that receive more from the government, the federal government, than they pay in have large military installations. And they roll that money also into what they figure when they receive from the government. Also, you have some very, very socialistic states on your list towards the bottom that receive much more from the government than they pay in, such as New Mexico, Pennsylvania. So, you know, there's an awful lot of variables in there, Covina, man. For one thing, there was a time not too long ago when the Stark, Carroll, Columbiana county areas of Ohio were considered the best place in the nation to live versus because of wages versus cost of living. So it doesn't do you much good to live in, say, New York City and make $100,000 a year when it costs you $3,000 a month for an apartment.
And at the same time, you have a million people on the waiting list to move from Bangladesh, from South Korea, from Taiwan, trying to get into California and New York. But you don't really see nobody trying to get into Texas except for the illegal aliens just trying to get on their way through.
Oh, no. People are bailing on California to Texas in droves. People are bailing on New Jersey to go to Florida in droves. You know, those states are all losing. Those high-tax states are all losing people to low-tax states. And businesses are moving. As a matter of fact, Caterpillar just brought a plant back from China and located it in Texas because of low taxes and low regulation. Caterpillar bypassed Illinois for Georgia for the same reason.
Yeah, and don't ever confuse what foreigners think are desirable places in the United States, because they go by what their censored press tells them. They know about San Francisco. They know about L.A. They know about New York. They know the big cities. They don't know all 50 states, because I've traveled enough in the world and talked to, and usually when I do, I try to get down real close to the local people. I stay in the more humble accommodations and stuff because I want to meet them. and most of them don't know that much about the United States, but they all know California and they, because of our surf movies and Hollywood and all that nonsense, and they know New York City because it is the business capital of the world. So don't mistake them going there initially. However, some of the biggest Muslim communities coming into this country are in places like Detroit, and they'll tell their friends and family, come here. We've got a going business. We can tough it out. And they're going where they're connected and have a network in place. So the fact that the other ones are low-level information about which states are the best states to go to, they figure that one out when they get here. They have family members. They get into a church in their faith or that supports their nationality and start speaking to people with their language that are here. They catch on real quick, and they migrate to wherever they want because they just came 10,000 miles to be here. To go another 900 miles and go to Texas is no big deal.
But here it's Stanley. I could relate to what you're saying. But I want to come back to one question because I'm hearing you debate on the economy. I'm not hearing you say that there's no – do you know that we are the country that is more the most inequal – has the most inequality between the rich and the poor? And
That's not true, Stanley.
That's not true, Stanley.
Go to Haiti. Go to Haiti and look at the inequality between the rich Haitians and the poor.
Okay, if you're going to compare to Haiti, why are you going there?
You said in the world.
Haiti was part of the world. The last time we all looked, Stanley.
Let's not go to Haiti. Let's not even compare Haiti and things like, okay, but in the industry role.
In the industrialized world?
Yeah, we are.
You're basically saying
that the Reagan study, the way that Reagan believed that tax and everything to the rich,
Stanley,
and everybody's going to be good for the middle class, they work.
Stanley.
But you're forgetting, Stanley, the people in the United States, like Bill Gates and those people, produce a product that the whole world wanted to buy. It wasn't just based in the local economy. So they became globally wealthy and just happened to live here. And then you compare that against somebody who is in our poverty level at $14,000, $15,000, $8,000 a year. I'm sorry, there are very few third world countries where people earn $8,000 a year.
Well, to Stanley's credit, he did say industrialized world. Hold on, Stanley. Are you saying that there's not a bigger income gap in China than there is here? That's an industrialized country. I've been to England, and I guarantee you that they have a bigger gap in England than we have here.
You want to basically close the eyes of all the studies that's been done there about experts who know even more.
Wait.
I've read those books. I'm not like you guys are just coming out with numbers of money.
Stanley,
I've read those books. I'll bet you I read more books a year than you do. Wait, I've let you talk. Let me talk for 2 seconds.
No, you're interrupting us, and you're insulting us, Stanley. That's inappropriate.
Why am I insulting
you?
You think you're not insulting us? Wait, you think you're not insulting us? Okay, hold on, guys.
Stanley, you cannot presume to know what another person knows.
Come on, guys, hold on.
One at a time. Go ahead, Stanley. State your case.
I've heard for 30, 40 minutes that America is the greatest country in the world, that we have no problem, that equality is not there, that we have to work hard, this and that and that. When we come liberal with things like that and say we have the best inequality, no, that's not true, Stanley, and everything. You jumped the gun.
Stanley,
you didn't even read the book. You didn't even read the study. I dare you to
I've read studies. You cannot compare the multiple scale of wealth in the billionaires in the United States against the poor people
because all the economists are international money. I just want to ask the question because he seems to know it all. So all the economists
Stanley,
have been
you
doing that.
Can I finish?
Stanley, let Mike finish.
You are finished. You were finished before you started, Stanley.
Okay, I'm finished before I say it. Okay, go ahead. So, America, we have to do it your way. You're always right.
No,
there's
Stanley,
nothing wrong.
That's why
okay,
we allowed
so,
you into
so,
America,
so
because
point?
We're
what's
not doing
Stanley,
it my
hold
way.
It. Come on, guys. We can't do this. We cannot do this. One at a time.
Go ahead.
It's
go
a
ahead.
Train wreck
go
from
ahead.
Here. Okay, Stanley, I personally have been all over Europe, and I will tell you that there is a larger I don't want to say income inequality, but a larger equality inequality of lifestyle in Europe than there is in the United States.
I disagree, because I went the same way that you did. I've traveled
Stanley,
the world also, and I went to Europe the same way you did, and I disagree completely.
No, you didn't.
So
I guarantee you, you did not, Stanley, and I will tell you why you
did
not.
Yes, I did. I went to France.
Did,
I went to Sweden.
Stanley,
I went to London.
Stanley,
I traveled around the world. Hello?
Stanley?
I have family
Stanley,
around the world. Hello?
Did you, Stanley, I worked with these people. I was in their homes. When I go to Europe and I say I own 10 acres of land, they think that I am a multimillionaire because nobody owns land. And most people in the United States own land. Most Europeans do not even own their own homes. It's a continent of renters, not a continent
Sticks.
Of owners.
Sticks,
yeah.
Just to add to what Stan Sticks, I think you can look a lot of this stuff up as far as income of people internationally. Europe is struggling right now. Their income, their economy, their dollar, the euro is about to go. Greece, there are more people on disability in America than the whole country of Greece. But Greece, they're confiscating people's bank accounts. European is failing and is in decline because they're getting away. They're trying to get away from socialism. This is public knowledge.
Yeah, there's an Italian Tea Party group now.
Yeah, and Stanley is confusing a dollar amount annual income for lifestyle. They're not the equivalent. I will dare say, Stanley, there are very few poor people in the United States without indoor plumbing and electricity, where in other industrialized nations, there are people without indoor plumbing and electricity. And no hope of ever having it in their lifetime.
So you're saying basically the study that showed that the 1% have maybe 85% of the riches
Stanley,
is completely wrong? Wait.
No,
I want him to answer
you're
the question.
Dollars
because he's
with quality of
are
life.
Are you telling me that all these economists who are more expert than you, that have
there
no thing that
insult,
can come to you,
Stanley,
that can come with
part.
The numbers?
Hey, Stanley, do you know what my PhD is in? Stanley, do you know what my PhD is in? Do you have a PhD? I do. Do you know what my PhD is in? You're going to stand there and presume
you
read more books on economics than I am?
You think I'm impressed because you have a PhD?
All right, guys, hold it.
What you're impressed
by
all these other knowledgeable people who wrote these books that seem to impress the heck out of you.
No, they don't impress the heck out of me,
but
what I tell you, maybe you don't know.
Stanley.
You don't come back and say, let me look at this, Stanley.
Stanley,
you're completely wrong.
All right,
hold it. Come on. Whoa. That's enough.
Go ahead.
That's enough. All right.
Sticks, is my phone open? Sticks?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Michigan.
Go ahead, Michigan.
I've been listening. Yeah. You know, one of the things with, you know, entrepreneurs, it is difficult. And the taxation on an entrepreneur can drive an entrepreneur out of business. You know, I think there's classes of entrepreneurship.
Whoa, sorry, guys. We're going to commercial.
Okay, can we talk, please?
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It was almost a year ago. Now the first calls to 911, the day of an elementary school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, have been released. More from ABC's Aaron Katursky.
These are the first sounds we've heard from inside the doomed Sandy Hook Elementary School, and they make more harrowing listening, so we're handling them with care. The recordings make clear the initial reports of what happened were at odds with what we now know occurred. But there is calm from dispatchers as they reassure school personnel help is coming. Police delayed their entry into Sandy Hook Elementary School, fearing there were multiple shooters.
A group of parents who lost children that day and others say there is no reasons for these recordings to be made public. They say it could harm their children. He's heard the criticism. Now President Obama has a message for anyone who isn't with him on health care reform or his plans to grow the economy. Here's ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
President Obama threw down a challenge to his Republican critics.
If you still don't like Obamacare, and I know you don't.
Then he said, offer an alternative.
You owe it to the American people to tell us what you are for. not just what you're against.
And he asked the same for those who oppose raising the minimum wage. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
An autopsy shows actor Paul Walker was killed by the impact of a car crash combined with the subsequent fire. Officials say Walker died Saturday when a Porsche driven by a friend smashed into a light pole and tree, then exploded in flames. Well, you've probably heard it from your daughter. Everything she says sounds like a question. University of Southern California researcher Amanda Rickard says it's even common among men in Southern California, but it won't help them on the job.
People from here can kind of come off as ditzy or confused or maybe unassertive.
The Acoustical Society of America, people who know a little bit about speech, have a name for it. They call it uptalk. The Dow is down 92 points. This is ABC News.
If you're a homeowner who's faithfully made your mortgage payments, you deserve thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful financial tool that rewards your commitment. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. And the tool that I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. HARP is designed to help you lower your mortgage payments. It's for homeowners who are current on their mortgage payments, but due to the housing market, may have little or no equity left in their home. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. More than 2.5 million homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of 250.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Michigan, is it?
Yeah, I'm Michigan.
Hey,
I'm just
up,
like, tired of people that talk, and then say, hey, let me look at the other way. I have no problem with
yeah,
people. Don't tell me you know everything. Don't tell me that all those people are
the ones you've heard of, like Phantom of the Opera or the Charlie Chaplin classics, are still there. But the ones you may not have from the 1920s and before are not. The Library of Congress says 70% of all feature-length silent films made in America have been lost due to decay or neglect over the past 100 years. And of the nearly 11,000 films made during that time, only about 14% exist in their original format. Director Martin Scorsese, who's been influential in trying to save silent pictures, says identifying what films are still around and preserving them is essential to our culture. Sherry Preston, ABC News. Well, if they don't believe their parents, maybe America's teens will listen to the Pentagon's top general. Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Martin Dempsey says the next generation of military recruits is oblivious to the danger that can come from bad behavior online. He says it could keep them out of the service or prevent them from getting a security clearance. Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Starbucks signature holiday beverages are here to share joy with one and all. Put a Starbucks handcrafted peppermint mocha, caramel brulee, latte, or gingerbread latte on your holiday to-do list to make all your holiday errands a little more joyful. Get your favorite flavor of the season at Starbucks today.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, the holidays are here, so dream big with your Northeast Ohio Ford dealers. Get the fuel-efficient Escape with EcoBoost for only $199 a month. Visit driveoneohio.com for details.
I need to control internet usage in my office.
Do you want to pay a fee for every user?
No.
Do you want to pay extra to protect remote users?
No.
How about a product that's difficult to install and use?
No.
Offshore automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
The Barracuda Web Filter. Content filtering, application control, and malware protection with no per-user fees. Available as a hardware appliance, virtual appliance, or as a cloud service. And live humans to answer your calls. Try Barracuda Web Filter free. Go to barracuda.com/yes.
Wounded warrior Dale Beatty is beginning the most important journey of his life.
Colonists, Swift 1-2s en route with urgent ASAC. Now, copy.
From the battlefield to home. Home to some very good medicine. His family's love. They'll be staying together at a Fisher House. Fisher House Foundation provides comfortable housing and other services to the families of wounded warriors and veterans while they receive care at military and VA hospitals. Remember those who serve and sacrifice. Make a donation to Fisher House, because a family's love is good medicine.
This is what your government thinks. Same people that didn't realize a war on terror existed.
Now they're saying it's over.
Somebody tell the terrorists that.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Some have said down through history, if you last, it's a mystery, but I guess they don't know what they're talking about. From the mountains down to the sea, you've become such a habit with me. America, America. Well, I come from down round Tennessee, but the people in California are nice to me. America.
Well, we're back from the 2 o'clock break. It's 8 minutes after 2 here at WSOM 600 AM. Tracy and friends, Sticks here talking to you. And we're just kind of going over a lot of things and creating a whole lot of people thinking. So I've got not-so-blind Mike out there. I've got 330-783-438-396. I've got 216, 334, and 269. Your mics are all up. And Michigan, you still there?
Yeah, I'm 206.
Okay, where were you going when we went to break? I had to cut you off, and I apologize.
Yeah, what I wanted to do was to try to make a distinction between those entrepreneurs who I believe you guys are talking about, you know, those who employ 1 to 50 1 to 50 people, you know, it is rough on those guys. And taxation would, in fact, drive a lot of those companies out. But what happens is when an entrepreneur reaches a threshold, they really don't create jobs. What they do is create wealth. And that's when they begin to move money around. They're not really creating any jobs. They're buying out companies, And so from that perspective, that's where you get the wealth and the income gaps and things of that nature. So the super rich, and it's always puzzling to hear broke people arguing for the super rich. I never could understand that. You have broke people arguing for the super rich.
Well, let me explain to you my point of view. I understand the Rockefellers and the Soroses and those people in that rarefied air up there that – the top 1% of the top 1%. And those are the real movers and shakers, and I think you and I can agree with that, agree on that point.
Yes. Yes.
But I can't do anything about them because they've got so much money, they're writing the rules. So no matter what I do, I can't worry about them because they're paying the right people to write the rules. All I can do is try to be in that 95 in the top 1% of that bottom 90%. You see where I'm coming from?
Well, Sticks, that's your dilemma. That's the American dilemma.
It's the worldwide dilemma.
But you want to
I wouldn't agree with that, Sticks.
You want to boast of what America is, so don't run from that. Let's deal with it. So that's the American. That is the monster in the room. Yeah,
exactly.
you want to boast of America. Wait a minute, man.
Okay, go ahead.
You want to boast of America being this ugly monster because you're correct. At a certain point in a capitalist society, it is not about creating jobs. It is about the control of people and resources.
Has a ruling class in the history of humankind ever had any other ultimate ultimate goal. You know,
no,
you,
and
yeah.
that's why yeah. you need, and thus that's why you need government to do more than what
but
it normally would do.
No,
wait,
but
wait minute,
this is where we disagree.
Wait,
this is where
wait,
we disagree.
Wait.
Go ahead.
Wait. Because I know the word government to you guys is some type of plague. When you're talking about government, you're talking about the rest of the people who are not in that class organizing themselves to do what they can do to make sure that the 1% doesn't run rampant. That's all we're talking about.
And
you,
mean like,
you,
you mean like the Tea Party?
And here's what you
like the Tea Party.
Here's what you guys say.
Six.
This is America. Let them run rampant.
Exactly.
That's basically you guys' argument in a nutshell. Let them run rampant. This is America.
Hey, by the way, one at a time, guys.
Go ahead, Alabama. Go ahead, Alabama. Your turn.
I don't think nobody on this phone is arguing let the ultra rich run rampant. I think what people are saying, see, if you look at Rockefeller was all for free enterprise, and I think they made this point earlier. Once they get to a certain point, these guys were worth $200 and $300 billion in today's dollars. They started making statements like competition is bad. They got to a certain level, and they created an oligarchy of group of guys that make rules. I think what sticks in most of these people, conservatives, are saying is let's get the grease off the ladder so somebody else can rise up the ladder as well. They're trying to shut it down and take their money places and hide it so that they don't have to pay taxes, and then they get people like Stanley emotionally riled up to keep it where the next guy coming along can get up there where they are. They're trying to shut it down for anybody else, like you, Michigan, to create wealth. Because it's harder for you than it is for a guy that owns Apple or Microsoft paying himself $1. He knows he controls his wealth.
Because you look at Famous Amos Cookies. That man could not start that business today. There are so many rules and regulations. He could not start that business by selling cookies on the street in New York City. They would put him out of business with all the regulations. And the regulations
this
are put there. Well, go ahead.
And this is where I do agree that's why I said you almost need to talk about entrepreneurship in segments, because you're right on point when it comes to those who are next in line to be the job creators. You're correct. Too many regulations and too many rules, it does kill that class. I would agree 100%.
See, and that's the thing that most people don't grasp.
They kind of shut the door, and they want nobody else to come in. They already got their billions. They've been rich for 100 years. So they shut the door for anybody else getting in. They said competition is bad. Competition
is
evil.
Right.
So they shut it down. We don't want nobody else in here but us. Because you know what? We're the gods, and they're the mortals.
Yeah, John D. Rockefeller said competition is a sin. But just like, let's look at the Americans with Disabilities Act. Say you're a little regional pop bottler. If you have to conform to that regulation, it's going to cost you so much money that you can't pass that on. But you take a Pepsi-Cola company, they're going to put a half a penny on a can of Coke. That's why Walmart, even though they're saying they don't want a raise in the minimum wage, could really care less. Because they'll put a quarter of a penny on their everything in the store, and it's not going to hurt them. But a raise in the minimum wage, I know two businesses right here in Ohio that were directly put out of business by an increase in the minimum wage.
Well, and again, that's why I believe you have to talk about entrepreneurship in segments. But here's what we do know. Most entrepreneurs who reach a threshold of moving from job creation to wealth creation end up taking on the mindset of the 1%. That we know.
Right.
So
that's human nature.
Okay,
I'll agree.
Okay.
Nah.
Okay. So was somebody going to disagree with that?
I don't think it's human nature. I think it's an American problem, because around the world in Europe, they don't have that problem.
No, they did that in Rome. They've been doing that for thousands of years.
They don't have the gap salary as you. Take the CEO of a company in France. Take the numbers.
One at a time. Go ahead, Stanley.
Take the numbers. If you don't believe me, take the numbers. Take a CEO of a company in France and take the lowest employee. You will not see the 500-600% difference between the
first CEO and Stanley.
That's a fact. That's a fact. And if you take a company here in America, you take the CEO of any American company, and you take the employee that's normal, you will see 600,000%
but Stanley,
different.
But Stanley, you are also missing something, though. Go ahead.
Let me jump on that, too. Okay, Stanley, you just made a great point. And we were talking earlier, I think, before you called about managerial capitalists. These are guys that go and get these MBAs from Harvard, Yale, and they go out here. They feel as though these are not the people that own a lot of these companies. They coming in, they'll run this company in the ground, making $800 million bonuses, then they'll go run another company in the ground. So I'm not talking about, it's a difference. And that's what Michigan was just talking about. There are differences in this. It's not just all one size fits all. But that's what government does. They try to say one size fits all, raise taxes, screw everybody. And meanwhile, the ultra rich, they got all the backdoor cuts to get out and do what they want to do anyway, Republican or Democrat.
That's
where we disagree at Alabama. See, government can do whatever it wants to do or needs to do. So there's no handbook to a government being bad, or there's no handbook to a government being good. A guy that wants to get reelected.
If he wants to get reelected, and I got $300 million, right? Michigan, you just a regular guy that work at a company, and I got $300 million, and we want the opposite things. Who's going to win? Me, because I got the money.
In a capitalist, when people are driven by the profit motive, which is America's dilemma, you are going to win.
But Michigan, when people are driven by the profit motive.
I got to ask you, Michigan. Go ahead, man.
All right, what I got to ask you is, are governments – do you believe government is a slave to the physics of economics? Because you have to have a profit motive to encourage people to produce. Without a profit motive, people don't get out of bed in the morning.
Now, let me tell you something. This is where a person's worldview and their upbringing and their psychology separates, because that is the thinking of a European, what you just said. Now, I know this may sound funny to you guys. You do not have to have the profit motive in place for a human to reach his potential. But you believe that, Styx, and that's what we differ.
And I'll tell you how I have formed that opinion. I've had many missionaries in my home that worked in Africa, and they explained to me the way that African culture is. And from what they've explained to me, it's not moving forward because there is no profit motive in the indigenous culture. So people don't have an incentive to go out and earn things. Now, that's just what
I've been. I've been to Africa. Let me tell you something. If you took 10 American kids who grew up in the American culture and 10 African kids and put them on a island for survival, every last one of those, I doubt that any of those American kids would make it. If you see the innovation and the drive and the spirit of those African people over there and the ingenuity, you have to be on the ground to see that, man. That is absolutely false.
See, the profit is an imperfect word. There's other ways that the human person profits, including rising to power, becoming the chief of the tribe, becoming recognized. There's recognition. Matter of fact, the Ford Foundation did a lot of studies. Actual salary demands were fifth on the list. Recognition was first. And in other countries, recognition counts for something, because they don't deal in currency, but there's other forms of currency that you can trade for.
Correct. That's correct.
So to say
right,
that 10
right.
American kids wouldn't survive, no, because you're putting them in a situation where survival is everything. These 10 kids from Africa know how to survive. They know not to go near a snake. They know not to, you know, walk through a jungle late at night when there's lions prowling for dinner and stuff. They know the survival stuff. But you see, in our society, we're safer than that here. And we have we have spears and arrows that we hunt with here. They're called dollars. It's how we accomplish the kill. It's how we go hunting. It's how we acquire a mate. It's how we move up in the world.
I got to close you down. We're going to break.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit family. Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
We are going to come at you politically. I wish I could do everything possible to sabotage your agenda, because your agenda is anti-American, because your agenda is anti-free market and anti-private property, because your agenda is an attack on the individual. I personally will do whatever I can to sabotage such an agenda, to obstruct it, to divert it, because I'm coming after you all the time.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Well, hello. It's Tracy and Friends. This is WSON 600 AM. Sticks is sitting here for Tracy. Tracy's off sick today. And we've been kind of talking about a lot of different things here. We've been talking about entrepreneurs, and we've been talking about just American culture in general and the profit motive. And Michigan is trying to explain to us a little different way of looking at things, and got not so blind Mike there. 438-334-269, you're all up. And let's just kind of go from there. What did I miss during the break, guys?
Nothing but commercials, because everybody, ain't nobody talk when you go to commercial. We be asking you every time.
You have to shut off the commercial to get the feed off. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Give me
like your sponsors, though. Great people, great products, and we encourage the listeners to patronize those establishments when they're looking for products during this holiday gift-giving season.
Yes, they got to pay. We got to keep the bills paid around here.
Yeah, we
got to
make sure that enough cash comes in so you don't get paid minimum wage.
That's right. I just want to. This is a labor of love, let me tell you. But I just want to thank everybody for having patience with me. This is kind of my rookie day out by myself here. So
you're doing fine, Stick. You're doing fine. You're doing the hard part. You're holding down the conversations. Anyone can push buttons. You can train a monkey to push buttons. We proved that with two space monkeys before we shot up Gordon Cooper.
That's true. That's true. Oh, dear. So I'd like to get back to what Michigan was talking about profit motives, because, you know, you're right that it's not always money that motivates people. You know, Ayn Rand put it as trading value for value.
Right.
And I think Michigan's right. As Americans, we do tend to focus on the dollar a little bit more than maybe we should, because there are other things. For example, you know, Saturday, my wife and I went up to Cleveland, and we helped Mark Pratt, who was on here a few weeks ago, set up their Christmas store. And there was profit in that for me. It was rewarding. It was nice to do something good for somebody. So there's more than one way of being paid, per se, quote unquote, you know.
Right. South Carolina, who's a frequent caller to the call here, is a former Marine, and right now every waking minute he has above and beyond his full-time job is he's co-chairing the campaign for Toys for Tots in South Carolina.
Yeah, he's busier than a one-armed paper hanger right now. I talked to him a few times.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people volunteering to help him who aren't necessarily giving money. They're doing things like, geez, I'll be coming from that end of the state. Why don't I stop by the store that has a sack full of toys and bring them over to you, because I'm coming that way anyway. I'll save you a 100-mile ride, you know, and things like that they're doing. Everybody gives their own way. It's not just about money. Unfortunately, in a capitalistic society, the only scoreboard we have is money. But money is nothing more than a score of how well you're doing whatever product or service you bring to the marketplace.
Right. That's why I like the Francisco D'Anconia speech in Atlas Shrugged, where he talks about money is really nothing more than a way of trading with each other. It's not good, bad, or indifferent. And what by using money to trade, we no longer have to resort to whips and chains.
Right. And it's a common mean of exchange to get away from pure barter, because after you and I have traded back and forth and I make nails and you make bread, I've got more bread than I can eat, and you've got more nails than you can use. So we got to have a means of exchange, and currency, paper currency, is nothing more than a receipt that says you have produced so many loaves of bread to the good of the society that entitles you to go to the pile of goods and services and withdraw in kind other things you may need, you know, a left rear axle for your Ford truck or whatever.
Right. That's all that money is.
Yeah, so I don't damn people who pursue money, because money is power. And I will tell you this much. I have never seen a poor person hire another poor person and give them a job.
I haven't either. And we've probably beat this horse to death, but
probably.
A lot of people don't realize that small businessmen in many cases make less money than the help.
Yeah. I've did that for a number of years, being a disabled person and having to pay a lot of support help to read for me. I had to buy eyes, had to buy a driver, and then go to work and pay for all of them before there was anything for me to take home.
Right. The business owner is always the last guy to get paid. The government's the first guy to get paid, and the business owner is the last guy to get paid.
Oh, the government, the banks, and the insurance companies, the other investors, the employees actually get first ahead of anybody to get paid because otherwise all productivity stops. You pay your employees first. That's the first priority. Then comes all the people that can put you in jail because they need some time to prosecute you or your employees will walk out next payday and you'll have no company. So your employees have more sway over you than people understand. People think when you're self-employed and you work, quote-unquote, for yourself, that you have no boss. You have dozens of bosses, all your employees, all your customers, all your trade accounts, all the people you need credit from. They all hold control over you.
Right. Well, and the thing is, the thing about being self-employed, the good part of it is you have more than one employer. You know, when you work a job, you have one guy writing your paycheck. When you're self-employed, you have an unlimited number of people writing you a paycheck. That's the good thing.
Yeah, like today.
But the bad thing is, I've used this story many times on this show. My wife's father owned a small construction company in Charleston, South Carolina. And my wife remembers weeks where her and her mom were getting change out of a coffee can to buy milk and bread with, but every one of the men got their check.
Yeah. Yeah. There were times when my wife worked all week in the hospital, brought her paycheck home, and threw it into the corporate account to pay payroll that week.
Oh, that happens.
For the employees for my construction company, that's what happened. Yeah. It was because it's a family commitment. It's a pool of money, and everybody works together as a team. And, it's the way it is. But then again, that gives you the freedom trade-off, the freedom to do other things that you want to do. Like today when Tracy called, said she was sick, asked me to get on over here and see what I could do to lend a hand. I was able to clear my schedule for 3 hours to be here. So that's the
freedom.
When my mother was terminally ill, I was able to be her primary caregiver for the last 6 months of her life. And, that cost a lot of money. But I didn't have to make the decision, my emotional attachment to my mother, versus what I could afford. You know, that's the trade-off. And then I went back to work and made up for all those losses the next year, you know?
Right. That's always been the joke in our house, that my wife goes to work to pay for my landlord habit.
Yeah, there you go. I've been there, too. Yeah. The best day, happiest day of my life was when I bought my first income properties. The next happiest day was 3.5 years later when the bank foreclosed and took them from me.
Oh, that's a bad thing.
Yeah,
216.
That was great.
216, your mic's on.
Oh, thanks, Dick. Hey, you're doing a great job, too.
Thanks.
Excellent job, actually. Welcome back to Stanley. It's good to hear his voice. You know what? And Stanley was – I got two things to say. One, Stanley was saying about the gap in the rich and the poor. I think societies need to measure how successful they are, not by how rich their rich people are, but how rich their poor people are. And I think we're doing a pretty good job here with that. I mean, it doesn't matter how rich your rich people are. The gap could be humongous. It doesn't matter. As long as your poor people are doing it right. I think we have the richest poor people in the world. I bet we do. Televisions and phones, and most people have cars. And I wanted to throw something out there as well. I was just thinking, right now, today, in the United States of America, I think we are living better than probably 99.9% of all humans that have ever been alive in the history of the planet. I'm going to ask you this. Are we middle-class Americans, are we living better than the King of England in 1213? I think we are, right? We have cars, we have running water, we have plumbing.
Yeah.
We have stores that are stocked with, right? Are we living better than 99.999% of the people that have ever lived on this entire planet ever?
We have a longer lifespan because we don't get sick.
Right?
Living in a drafty stone castle because your father was king, he died.
Yes.
Now you have to live in a place where there is a pot near the window in the bedroom that you have to
as much as we complain as middle class and poor, we're doing so good compared to everyone that has ever been alive on this planet. You agree or?
No,
I agree.
That was one of our earlier comments, Dix, right? Where the poor at least have indoor plumbing and electricity for most of them. There are very few poor people in the United States that don't have basic utility facilities and access to some level of health care, even a bottle of aspirin to break a fever.
We're better. Go ahead.
Our economy, we have created in this country with the exception of the extremely poor, the homeless, I would say. But I have
most of them are mentally ill.
Right. I have everything that the President of the United States has. I do. I have a color television set. I have central air conditioning. I have a car to ride in.
Uh-huh.
I have to fly commercial. He's got a private jet, but still, I can fly.
Uh-huh.
I have everything that the most powerful man in this country has at my fingertips. When in the history of humankind have we had that level of affluence?
You even have
Never.
The right to criticize him. Try that in ancient and medieval England. Criticize the king because he lives better than you and see how long you live.
Yeah. You know, is Stanley still on or Michigan? I mean, what do they have to say about this? Like, can they even argue this point? I don't know if they're still on or not.
I can't recognize their numbers. Go ahead.
I tell you what, you know, because 50 years ago, well, 60 years ago, if a black man drove the type of vehicle that I drive today, he would be considered uppity. We got to do something about that boy.
Yeah.
You know? So now, I think you kind of pretty much got the same thing.
I know. You and I being 50 years ago in this state, you and I couldn't be seen in public together, South Carolina.
Definitely.
They would either assume I owned you or my family owned your mother before you. or we had some illegal transaction going. You were selling me some woman in your family. That's what they would have assumed.
And it's crazy, but nowadays, you know, they're not interested in that. They're just interested in making sure that you stay in your station, or at their station. You know, it's the American version of the caste system. You know, and the people have bought into it. You know,
I'm looking at an article here. It's in the Oregonian. It's called "Income in Perspective: America's Poor Are Among the World's Wealthy." It says if you make $10,000 a year, you're richer than 84% of the rest of the world. And if you make more than $50,000 a year, you're richer than 99% of the world.
Yeah, wow. And that's people living today.
Yeah,
right.
When you consider we are 5% of the world, so 6% of the world's population, to say that we're richer than, you know, we're in the top 15%, which really means is the 6% of the Americans are ahead of, are in the same class with the other 9% of the world. That's
right, you know, And this isn't to say we can't get better. Of course, we want to get better. I just think we need to look at things in perspective. But definitely, we do want to still complain. We still want to strive to get better. You know, I'm not saying that we should stand pat.
Mm-hmm.
But just look at things in perspective.
Right, 334 and 269. Your mics are on.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I don't really have anything to say about it. I agree. I think. You know, the black people, which are the poorest people in this country, are the richest people on earth. In fact, we actually have $1 trillion a year spending power. So actually that's the legal that we know of, spending power. So I concur. I just think I think a person's worldview affects where their life goes. I think that affects everything. It's how you view things is where you're going to go. If you're an optimistic person, then your life will go in an optimistic, positive direction. But if you are a pessimist and you see the downside and everything, you're negative, you know, you don't expect, not that you're going to have a bad life, but you may not maximize your potential. So, I mean, it is what it is. I call this show a lot of times for intellectual stimulation, just to have fun sometimes, really.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at
a basketball analogy. You know, Alabama, you play basketball. Now, if you got a guy that's a great basketball player, but he doesn't have the confidence to shoot the ball, what kind of basketball player is he going to be?
Average. He's going to be average.
10 seconds, guys.
He's going to be average.
I just seen it here. Miley Cyrus is one of the top vote getters for Time Person of the Year.
Wonderful.
That's funny.
Yeah. Hey, Alabama, you've had an interesting day. Are you going to share any of that publicly today? Or
No, I'm gonna keep it to myself. I've had a few days like this, and I call the show.
It is
what it is, man. But you know, I'm excited about everything. I got some other stuff brewing I hadn't talked to you about, but
I'm excited
about stuff I got going anyway. So I'm probably my heart wasn't in it anyway. So I'm excited about what I got going.
Yeah. No, I hear you, and here you are. And if you did not tell me personally what was going on, I'd have no idea you had a care in the world today. You know?
Well, I honestly, to be honest with you, I feel like everything's going to turn around for the better anyway. So
yeah,
I've been through this with just in the last 4 years, man. I've been through this probably three, four, five times. So
yeah.
It happens. It doesn't really bother. I just take a lick, keep on moving it, you know.
Yeah.
And I budget. I have everything set up a certain way, so I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Nobody
I'm
else pulls your strings.
So.
I hear you. You're your own man.
Yeah.
No one else pulls your strings because you're set up right from day one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hey, South Carolina, are you still there?
Yep, I'm still here.
Why don't you, before the show ends, why don't you give a shameless plug for Toys for Tots? Come on, you guys, you Marines do some great work. Why don't you get the word out there and stuff? Why don't you see if Sticks will give you 30 seconds?
All right. We'll
Speaking
see.
Of which, do you need my assistant to pick anything up for you in her hometown or anything, or are we still, you need any help with that?
Not right now, probably next week or so.
Okay, cool. Yeah, she's up for that. She's up for that. Yeah.
Hey, Alabama, you see any Toys for Tots boxes out there in your area?
Not really. I haven't really been out looking, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we're in the process of doing our campaign, so, and it's nationwide. I'm not sure who the coordinator is in that area.
Yeah.
But you're in Talladega?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I'm in Atlanta. But I'm from
Atlanta.
Montgomery. Yeah.
Oh, okay, Atlanta. Oh, my goodness, man. That's a big one. That's a big campaign there. They
30 WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Well, hello. It's 2:44 here in Youngstown, Ohio, on WSOM 600 AM. It's Tracy and friends. Sticks is in here talking to you, and we got last block of our show here today. 15 minutes left, and we're going to see what's going on in the chat room.
Yeah, well, South Carolina is there. Alabama is there. I think other folks are there, just laying low.
So what were you guys talking about? Did I do it right? Did I do it right? Because you got to talk during the break this time.
Yeah, we did. We did. It was excellent.
Yeah.
Whatever button you push, you just keep pushing that button, and we'll stay here all day. That's
okay.
A great button. That was the Give Us Life button. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, great one. Oh, great king, master of the microphone.
the wonderful, the Wizard of Oz. There we go.
Yeah,
oh, great and powerful Oz.
Controls our right to free speech when we're not on the air.
Yeah. All
so,
right.
You know, when you look at the top CEOs in
yeah.
the United States, they don't make as much money. It sounds astronomical, but they don't make as much as go look at the Forbes list of who the billionaires are and then get to know their stories. Very few of those people. Most of them are self-made millionaires who started with nothing. You just
right,
got to know the
right.
stories. And they're incredibly generous people.
Yep. Go ahead, South Carolina. What can I do for you?
Hey, Stitch. I'll tell you what. I'm here in South Carolina. As you know, I'm the coordinator in this area. But out in the Mahone County and Trumbull County, you've got a Sergeant Montano Modesto, and he's a Toys for Tots coordinator out there. And I don't know if you can ask him about Toys for Tots, and I know Tracy's going to get me for this. But you'll see our white boxes out there with the little red train on it. We started back in 1947. We went official in 1948. And our goal is to make sure that every child has a toy for Christmas. You know, wake up Christmas morning and has a toy. So if you see a Toys for Tots box out there and you go by a store, pick up a toy, drop it in the box, and make a you know make a child happy on Christmas morning. So that's my plug.
All right.
Yeah. And volunteer.
Go.
Volunteer.
Volunteer.
Yeah, they
you have to be. You don't have to be a for. You don't have to be a. You don't have to be a Marine to volunteer.
No. Well, here in South Carolina. Here in South Carolina, he requires you come in through the door with your own AR-15, fully loaded, 30-clip magazines. But that's here in South Carolina. The other states, you can just give a toy or come by and give your hands. You know, load boxes, help folks out. You know, pass out coffee, be a polite person. You know, but here in South Carolina, you'd be armed and ready to be a Toys for Tots person.
Okay.
Hoorah. First, Second Amendment rights all the way, baby. Lock and load.
Yeah. We let squids come in, too, so, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Seriously, though, it's a great organization, and South Carolina is being very humble. He shares a last name with another gentleman who's much older, who's been doing it for years, and South Carolina is taking it over here. The old gentleman is retiring soon, and he's doing a heck of a job. The county we live in, where he's primarily running this, is about 57% African-American. It's one of the poorest counties in the United States, and he makes sure that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, into the thousands, literally, of children have toys every Christmas. So he does a great job.
Good. Good. I'll tell you, the Toys for Tots commercial where the Marine's standing guard and he takes the little boy's note, little boy says, I knew he was real. That gets my heart every year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got the, that's one of the ones that we have, and we run the other spots as well. It gets really, really interesting, especially between right after Thanksgiving, or rather Black Friday, and the end of the campaign, which this year our last toy will go out on our last toys will probably go out the 23rd. We'll probably get two or three orders if somebody has an emergency situation on Christmas Eve. But between now and then, this is our really, really busy time. We've been up and running since the 1st of October. But if anyone wants, you want to find out where the toy drop locations are, you can go to www.toysfortots.org and put in your city and your county and your state, and it'll tell you exactly where or who the coordinator is and where the toy drops and how to make a donation. You can make a donation directly to the foundation, and the good thing about it is once you put that county and that city in, you make the donation to the foundation, it automatically comes back to the area where you're from. So you're not just, you know, donating money and it's not coming back to help the community. So it's a worthwhile endeavor.
Yeah.
Now, not to compete with you, but I went up to toward the city ministries in Cleveland this weekend, and they started a really interesting program. And what they do is they don't give toys and games away, but they charge like 10 cents on the dollar. And the guy that runs it, Mark Pratt, was telling me he's getting a lot of response from older people that are taking care of their grandchildren.
Oh, man, yeah.
He says a lot of those older people feel funny about taking outright charity.
Yeah.
But but at least if you let them pay a little something, you know, he's selling $100 toys for $10.
Wow.
You know.
Okay.
And of course they pre-screen, you know, because you can't just put a sign up front and say 10 cents on the dollar store.
Yeah.
But no. You know, and it's another way of it's just another way of thinking about doing charity. You know, I mean, we get into a mindset of out and out giving, and in some cases that's very important, but in other cases it kind of tears people apart. And we need to start looking at how we do our charity. Mark was talking about some food banks that are actually going into a co-op system where you pay like $3 a month to belong to the co-op rather than just going and getting your groceries. So, you know, there's a lot of really neat and interesting things that are going on in the world of charity around us. We just got to get hooked into them.
Yeah. And there's a lot of great charities, especially this time of year. This time of year seems particularly rough because of the little ones in the household, and because winter's coming and Christmas is such a traditionally generous season, a lot of good cheer and a lot of people giving and things. So and for those who don't have it, it makes them feel worse about themselves. And there's other organizations out there too, like South Carolina helped me.
Salvation Army.
Yeah.
Salvation
exactly.
Army.
Yeah, and last year South Carolina helped me locate a particular veteran who really had it rough medically and everything else. Not just him, but his little baby had a brain tumor and everything else, and a few extra bucks that way would help that family. And he and his associate there were able to identify that family anonymously, of course, and I was able to direct some help their way and stuff. So there's just a lot of good we can do, and as always, as it's taught in the good book, you don't give when you have, you give from what you have.
Right. Right.
And
I mean,
just if there are any young folks, teenagers or college individuals that's out there, sometimes you don't have to give financially. Sometimes you just have to give yourself.
Yeah.
Just one of the most enriching experiences you can ever have is just to go to the nursing home.
Yep.
Especially this time of year, and just go. You don't have to be related to them. Just go in and talk to them. You say, I'm just here to talk, you know, just meet the residents and just talk. They'll love it. They will love it. And,
yeah.
And you will also find out some interesting history, stuff you don't know, stuff you thought you knew and don't.
Yeah.
Right.
It's rewarding for them and for yourself.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, that's, you know, and we get so busy many times that we forget that there are people that are just flat out alone. You know, so try to keep those people in mind, you know, especially this time of year. It's my understanding that around the holidays is one of the largest times of year for suicide. So, you know, if you know somebody, one of your coworkers or something's hurting, take a few minutes and talk to them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It does come back. It really does. And the question... one of the questions that most of the generous people like to challenge themselves with, and that's if you really truly believed in your heart and faith that you would be blessed 100-fold for any good you did, what would be the limit to the good you would do?
It's hard. Sometimes it's hard to get up on a Saturday morning and go do something, you know, but when you come home, you always feel blessed.
Yeah.
You always feel blessed.
Yeah. If nothing else, you feel good about your lot in life because you've just seen somebody far worse off than you, and you count your blessings even more.
Right. And it puts so much of your life into perspective because you don't realize we tend to, especially those of us of the libertarian conservative bent, you know, to pull yourself up by your bootstraps people.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need to be humbled because we forget that, you know, just a couple of different life experiences can throw you into a death spiral.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody.
Oh, yeah. A medical crisis is medical bills is the number one reason for bankruptcy in the United States right now. And anybody is just one car accident away, one fall down a set of stairs. You know, one dirty doorknob that gave them a disease that they, you know, have no immunity to or something. I mean, anybody's life, a stroke, you know, anything. And all of a sudden to an elderly family member and, you know, you find yourself sitting there facing your own family's needs and the medical needs of that person who needs a little extra help right now. And the wheels can fall off your wagon pretty quick. And we do have a lot of safety nets in our society. They're not all perfect and they're sometimes not sufficient, but there is still the factor of you getting involved directly makes up for a lot of the gaps in the safety nets.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
And a good dose of financial education in our high schools would go a long way towards keeping people from ending up in a death spiral.
Yeah.
It amazes me the number of young guys with children that don't have disability insurance on themselves.
Right.
It just amazes me.
Yeah, when it's cheap to afford.
Oh, it's for a 20-year-old man, unless you're a professional skydiver, life term life insurance and intermediate term disability insurance are dirt cheap.
Yeah.
You know,
and you don't need to carry that much. You don't need to carry.
No,
that much.
It was like seven bucks when I was, you know, that age.
Yeah.
Yeah, I carried a policy for years. It was $45 a quarter.
By the way, term life insurance today, I got to get a plug in for our terrible, evil capitalistic society and health care. Term life insurance today is half the cost per $1 million of coverage that it was back in 1992. Do you know what did it? They deregulated the 2,200 companies and allowed them to compete across state lines. Are you listening, Washington, D.C.?
Yeah.
Yes, there was a big turnout. The next 2 years, 600 of the companies went out of business, the remaining 1,600, and that's why you can get a guy now who's in his young 20 years old and can get $250,000 worth of life insurance coverage for like, you know, 15, 20 bucks a month on a 10-year guaranteed policy. You know,
right.
It's because of the deregulation of that industry, allowing the free market to compete across state lines. Didn't
right.
they tell the insurance commissioners not to still keep an eye on who's doing business in their state, making sure people are getting their money when they pay their premium? But you got to have that competition. And if they would do that with health care, we wouldn't have needed this Obama mess here, this abomination.
Well,
Obama
that care. Yeah, that's the that. I mean, and that's we've got a little over a minute left, so. Getting into a healthcare discussion is going to go
no, we won't then.
For tomorrow. But, yeah, I mean, why do you need to force people to buy insurance that they don't need? And why not just let them go wherever they want to go to get insurance?
Yeah, yeah.
You
as
know,
you were
an insurance guy?
Yeah, as I was licensed in that industry, and I was a principal in that industry about 20-odd years ago, and I would see policies like in the state of Pennsylvania that were word for word identical, except where they said Pennsylvania instead of New York. And in New York, the same policy was three times the price. Why? Because they picked who the winners and losers in New York State were going to be, and they didn't have as many companies competing. They created this artificial marketplace, and all it did was cause the citizens in New York to pay three times more than they needed to for the same coverage.
And Sticks, I don't know if you remember or not, but you remember when Geico had the cheapest insurance there
mm-hmm.
was. But if you, and I remember this, and I was living in, I was stationed in North Carolina,
yeah.
and I wanted to get insurance on a car that I had in South Carolina, and they could not write the policy on it.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
But
yeah.
it sure came down when Geico
yep.
you know, kind of deregulated that.
Oh, yeah, when I moved to, not to do a commercial here for Geico, when I moved to the G company myself within this past year, after years and years of going with one of the brand name companies, oh, it didn't take 2 days after I signed my name on the Geico policy to get a call from my agent who had disappeared for 18 years.
Hey, it's Guy
said,
City. And before the game,
all right, guys,
all
we're done today. Talk to you later.
I guess so.
All right, man.
Good one, guys.
Take care, Sticks. Good job. Take care of South Carolina.
All right, man.
Catch you later, bro.
Okay, guys.
Bye-bye.
Racial or between men and women, it is. The talk before a progressive group in Washington. There is death in a...
...died from trauma. Toxicology tests on both bodies will take a few weeks.
ABC's Alex Stone. It's called Up Talk, and you know it when you hear it.